Chuck. This is Peppermint Patty. How you been, Chuck?
Okay, I guess.
Do you kind of miss me, Chuck?
Well,
That's okay, Chuck. I know you probably can't talk because someone's listening. We'll keep these intimate things to ourselves, okay, Chuck?
Well,
Listen, I really have a treat for you. My dad's been called out of town. He said I could go over to your house and share Thanksgiving with you, Chuck.
Well,
I don't mind inviting myself over because I know you kind of like me, Chuck.
Well,
Okay, that's a date. See you soon, you sly devil.
Oh, brother.
Did anybody tell you that this is the private club of the Satan's helpers?
Nobody hipped me to that, dude.
It's off limits!
Oh. Well, my mistake. Guess I'll be on my way then. Excuse me. Excuse me. Excuse me. Excuse me. Excuse me. Excuse me.
Right into this world.
You're listening to Nowhere in Mulberry, film, television, pop culture. It's where you find it.
Hello?
Hi, Chuck. Listen, I have even greater news. Remember that great kid, Marcy?
Sure.
I just talked to her, and she kind of would like to see you again. And her folks said it would be okay if she joined us. She can count on two for dinner, Chuck.
But I just don't know.
This will be okay with your folks, won't it, Chuck?
Well, the problem is...
Don't worry. We won't make any problems. We'll help clean up the dishes and everything. Just save me a drumstick in the neck. Okay, Chuck? See you, Chuck.
How do I always get into these things? Now she's bringing Marcy, too.
It's your own fault, because you're so wishy-washy.
Excuse him. Okie boo. Never never the roost turkey. Here we get the turkey. Hey, turkey, turkey. Oh, sweet turkey, nice. Turkey. Okay. We roost the turkey. Here we go. Oh, okay, turkey. Here we go. Now we skewer the turkey. They go into the turkey. And over. Here we go. They come. Here we go. Oh. Ready? I go 1, 2, 3.
Hello?
Hey, guess who just walked in over here? It's Franklin. I told him about the big turkey party you're having, and he's sure his folks will let him come. Hey, Chuck, this is gonna be the biggest bash of the year. See ya!
I think I'm losing control of the whole world.
I was in a hurry. I was on my way to church to say a few novenas for Thanksgiving.
Thanksgiving is not a Catholic holiday.
Thanksgiving is very big with the Italians. Turkey cacciatore, sweet potato parmesan.
There is no such thing as Thanksgiving in Italy. It is an American holiday. And I've been to Italy. It's not
to Florence, right?
Yes.
Ever been to Sicily by any chance?
No.
Thanksgiving is very big in Sicily on account of the large number of Sicilians who went to America and then got thrown back out.
What's this? A piece of toast? A pretzel stick? Popcorn? What blockhead cooked all this? What kind of a Thanksgiving dinner is this? Where's the turkey, Chuck? Don't you know anything about Thanksgiving dinners? Where's the mashed potatoes? Where's the cranberry sauce? Where's the pumpkin pie?
Yeah! Yes, yes. Hey, everybody, and welcome to the show, and happy Thanksgiving. I am Zed Jestrom. Welcome to the Nowhere and Mulberry. Yeah, where we do the film, television, pop culture.
And wait, you just went from French to African.
I got nothing, man. Sorry. But welcome to the show, Bill.
Range. Lots of range.
Yes. Welcome to the show, Stephen. Oh. Remember last week how I said, Stephen, if you ever don't feel great, show up whenever you want. I mean, like, if you're not feeling good, you know,
you're still sleepy.
If you're hungry, I want you to go eat first. You know, go out to eat. Go to Red Lobster. Then show up on the show.
Have some Cheddar Bay biscuits.
So let's see if Steven's here. And no. So he'll show up when he's ready, Bill.
Okay.
But let me introduce you, Mulberry Bill, the Mulberry Historian. How you doing, Bill?
Oh, I am lame, Mulberry Bill.
I just love doing that. But I'm actually getting a sore throat. Actually, I already have a sore throat, and I'm probably going to have... I've lost my voice by the time the show ends, but it's okay because it's all for our Thanksgiving episode. And this is also, Bill, episode 250 of Nowhere and Mulberry.
Isn't it appropriate that it's just me and you for our last episode?
Yes, it is. 250, Bill. And yep. I like when it's just you and me at times, you know? We don't know how to get rid of Steven. That's a problem. Yeah.
He tends to leech, you know, just kind of suck our lifeblood.
We think he's gone, and then all of a sudden he shows up again. So
he's a parasitic.
But I'm having a good time, I guess. Last night, you know, went with the wife to see Morrissey, Bill.
That's fantastic.
And I do it for her. I swear to God. I'm like, how many – you know what's sad is there's so many bands and different types of music that I love that I would love to see live. And by the time I'm going to be in my deathbed, and I'm going to be like – I saw Morrissey more than any other musical act in my lifetime. Why?
It's not that you dislike him. It's just that you've seen him more than anyone else.
Right. I have no dislike for him. I knew three songs he played last night. Oh. That's not bad. But you know what, though?
Is it like all his solo stuff and once in a while he'll do a Smith song?
He opens with the Smith song. Then halfway along, he plays another Smith song. And then he started talking about Thanksgiving, but he called
Next
week is Thanksgiving, and I have a song.
Oh, really?
How I feel about that. And then he starts playing Meat is Murder, the song Meat is Murder, while playing Slaughterhouse Video, like in the background. And I was like, whoo! And I was like, little does he know, I'm going to get a hamburger as soon as this
shows up. That's a little pretentious.
Oh, man, the band was wearing t-shirts, Bill, with a McDonald's M, and it says
Murder.
I just remember it says, I'm hating it.
McMurder, I'm hating it or something?
Oh, yeah, it was McCruelty. That's
McCruelty.
It.
McCruelty.
McCruelty, I'm hating it.
You know what? I understand that he's an activist and he's angry. Well, not angry, but disappointed.
He absolutely does not in any way, shape, or form believe in killing animals for food. Which, okay, that's his prerogative or whatever. And I just kind of laughed at it. But the main thing about Morrissey shows is that everyone there is crazy who's really into Morrissey. But the age of cell phones has gone insane, Bill. Everyone's holding up their friggin' phone, videotaping.
Yeah, recording.
There was a guy right in front of me videoing, and I turned to Heather. I go, is he going to record the entire concert?
Yeah, it's like they watch the concert through their phone instead of experiencing the concert.
Okay, I'm not shitting you. There was this chick holding up her friggin' iPad filming the entire concert.
Her
iPad! She was holding it up, so I see the stage, but I also see this rectangle in front of me of the concert.
At least you can watch it on the iPad.
Yeah, she's like, I'm enjoying this on the iPad. I wish I was there. You are there. It's right behind you. But my favorite is, Steven and I laughed about this at the last concert, is the drunken guy walking. He's got his camera, his phone. He lifts up, and he's trying to get a picture focus, and he goes, takes a picture of the stage. All you see him looking at the picture with the flash, and it's the back of someone's head. And I just start laughing. It's like, dude, your flash is – it's all it's going to do is light up the people right in front of you. It's not going to get the stage. And it's all these drunk people trying to take pictures. But last night, they didn't have any of that because we saw it at the McFarland Auditorium, SMU. Isn't that what it is, the campus?
Yes.
Oh, wait. Who am I talking to? It's Steven the Pop Culture Zealot, Bill. But there's no alcohol or refreshments of any kind there.
Oh, I think that's a good thing at a Morrissey show.
You just go to the concert. Yeah. There's no alcohol or anything like that.
They have to booze it up beforehand.
I want to ask you guys this. I think the best of people, and I think at times my wife thinks the worst. When we got there, I didn't know whether to go left or right on the campus. I was like, I can't remember. We saw Conan here. I think let's ask somebody. And I asked this guy. I go, hey, do you know which way to McFarland Auditorium? He goes, oh, yeah, yeah. Follow me. I'm walking in the direction. You walk down here, and then you're going to turn left down at this street, and then take a right, and then right there you'll see the building. I was like, okay, thanks a lot, man. So we're walking for a long time, and I'm like, this doesn't look like the right way. And Heather's like, that guy pulled a prank on us. He thought it was funny to tell us to go the wrong way. And I'm like, I don't know that. Maybe he just didn't know where we were going. And she's like, no, he knew where we were going. So I asked this Asian guy. He's carrying a heavy box. He's walking, and I go, excuse me, sir, do you know where McFarland Auditorium is? He goes, oh, sure, hold on a sec. And he sets the box down. He gets out his phone, his iPhone, and he pulls up a map. He goes, okay, here's the map of the campus. You just walk straight down this street right here, and then you'll see a fountain right there on the left. That'll be it right there. I'm like, okay, thanks a lot. And I'm like, okay, that guy was really helpful. He pulled out a map and, you know, yeah. He set down his heavy shit.
Where's your phone at?
And then, yeah, I had my phone. But
well, then why didn't you use it for a map? Bring up Google Maps.
Because we found, this is what's funny. I used the map to find the campus. And then once we were there, I'm like, all right, just put that away. And we're here. Let's go look for the auditorium.
Because normally they have me as their guy.
Yeah. Heather even said, we need Steven with us for this. But as we're walking, I go, that guy did tell us the wrong way to go on purpose, didn't he?
Yeah, he absolutely did.
She was like, he had a smirk on his face the whole time. I was like, why would that be entertaining to this guy?
Because he's an asshole. Well,
yeah, what a dick, man. But anyway, it was good stuff. Good
concert.
How many
flat cap counts?
I only counted one. It was very disappointing. There was one guy with a cowboy hat on, though.
But, whoa, that's confusing.
We got to see Morrissey close up.
I'm surprised Morrissey didn't, call him up on stage and go, do you kill cows?
The cowboy. I just raise them, sir. They're my pets. But
I wouldn't dream of eating them.
But,
you know, murder.
Hopefully the next band I see is, the Deers or something.
I don't think you should go see Morrissey again.
I
have no problem with his music and stuff, but his politics and his points of view get really, really irritating.
I don't mind the whole meat thing. I just think it's kind of funny. I don't feel the same way, but he's been that way his whole life. At least he's consistent, I guess.
Yeah, at least he's consistently irritating.
he doesn't want us eating meat, Steven.
That's a shame, because I love it so.
Yeah, meat is good.
It is. It's delicious.
It may be murder, but it's delicious murder.
Especially whenever you get, real meat. Like, last week, a local farmer, 8 miles up the road from me that I've been in contact with, had his cows taken to the butcher, and he called me and asked me how much I wanted and what I wanted, and I said, well, why don't you just give me a box of 10 pounds of ground beef? And, I mean, these are grass-fed cows. That's all they eat. And, man, that meat is so good.
Delicious murder.
I mean, it tastes like how beef should taste. It's not like processed feedlot shit that's just chewy nastiness. It's like it tastes minerally and livery and meaty, and like it tastes like thing something should taste.
Yeah, nice.
I can taste the moo.
I know. Like if you like one of me and Heather's favorite places to go is to get a steak, like the bone-in ribeye at the Keg.
Is it like dry aged?
Oh my god, it's so good. But I can imagine not being able to eat that again. It's kind of sad.
Yeah. Poor Morrissey. Maybe somebody should just hold him down and go, try it. Eat it.
No, I won't. I can't do a Morrissey voice. But Bill, you invited me to play on Steam, the computer kind of thing where you play a bunch of games, right?
Give me Steam.
Steam.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, it's basically the PC equivalent of like an Xbox Live that Valve started it, the company that created Half-Life.
Right. You had this game called Payday: The Heist.
Mm-hmm.
It's about bank robbing. It's like Left 4 Dead, only instead of zombies, it's a bank with cops and stuff like that.
Yeah, you have all these little tasks you have to do.
You have your crew, and you're going to rob a bank or something, Steven, and you go in, and you get the lay of the land, and you have an annoying guy telling you what to do.
Yeah, and it's obviously it was made in Britain.
Uh-huh.
And all the guys have these horrible American accents.
Yeah, it almost reminds me of, like, Speed Racer.
You know? They, like, slip in and out of them. And, yeah, it's like that reading, that direct reading from a script. Like,
right.
Okay, the bank manager is up there.
Yeah, I have a clip of this, Bill.
Great.
This is what Bill and I were... The game is so hard. It is
so intense and hard, yeah.
It is. And Bill and I tried to rob this bank over and over and over and over. And every time the guy says the same thing. So it started. There's one night he goes, good news and bad news. At the beginning, I'm like, oh, just shut up. You know, because he keeps telling us. Check this out. This is what we have to hear about 100 times.
Listen up. Good news and bad news. We got a go from our insider. He hit the thermite and a drill in the server room, but he bailed. The bank manager's got the key card to get in there. Let's get it on.
Yeah, so we get to hear this jackass the whole game.
Yeah, every time we start. Yeah, and he's our, I guess he's our spotter. He's the guy that doesn't get involved, but he, like, tells us where to go.
So as we're in there, he's like, the cops are moving in. It's like, oh, shut up! Leave us alone!
We know!
Stop talking and... Then, you know, we have to chase one of our guys. He's getting away. Chase him.
Yeah, they're letting civilians go. They've released a hostage.
Yeah, you're supposed to make the people get down on the floor, and then you zip tie them so they can't get away. And if you don't do enough of them, the cops start rescuing them, and then they start sending in the tear gas, and then, you know, more and more cops come in. It's actually fun, but aggravating at the same time.
It is. And it's got their, they've got like their special guys, just like Left 4 Dead has like what are they called? Spitter bitches and
the blob guy.
Yeah, the
vomit guy.
Jesus, we haven't played it in so long we can't remember the names.
Tank.
But in this one we have like the taser guys
and you're shaking. You're like, Bill, I'm getting tasered. My whole screen shaking. I don't know what to do.
The bulldozer is like the tank.
And here's the thing that pisses me off about the game. It's wrong to kill civilians.
Yeah, but you can just absolutely load cops with lead.
I know. You can kill. The object is to kill as many pigs as you can in the game.
That's what we kept doing. It like, the pigs are coming. I smell bacon. Yeah, kill them all.
Bill, I smell bacon around the corner. You'll never take me, pig.
Like, if you can't kill civilians, the cops, you should, like, get points for shooting out their kneecaps or something.
What I think is our characters, we hate cops, but we love civilians. We're not.
Oh, okay.
We don't want a bloodbath on our hands, but the cops, that's different. They're trying to keep us from our money, right?
What if it's an off-duty cop?
he's fair game.
Oh, okay.
I don't know. While I was playing the game, I was like, this game is really wrong on so many levels.
It is. I feel guilty playing it.
We're killing cops in the game. What the hell?
It's not like zombies where, you know, there's a disconnect. I mean, we're actually just mowing down these cops, and you feel so bad at the beginning because once the alarm goes off, who are the first responders? All these guys in uniform. So it's like just these regular beat cops come rushing in, and it's like, oh... I really feel awful killing these guys.
Stop here, let's party! The police, let's party, baby!
Yeah, that's what I say with my machine gun. F the police, let's party!
But I think the worst thing about the game is, I think, what was it, the second one we played was some sort of street heat thing where you're trying to escape the bank, maybe, the second part of it.
Right, and you're running through the city.
Yeah, you're running through the city, and these SWAT trucks come in, and they're like clown cars. They just, they're just pouring dozens and dozens of guys out.
I know.
It's impossible.
And there's civilians everywhere. And I'm like, why would the cops open fire on us in broad daylight with civilians everywhere?
Yeah, just let us get free and then worry about apprehending us later. Isn't this dangerous?
Good news and bad news.
Yeah, good. You're going to be irritated to all hell, but you're going to have fun.
Yeah, I love that. You use the thermite to burn the floor where you get down into the vault, and then you take all the money. Then you got to fight your way out and shoot all the cameras and stuff. And
yeah, you got to make sure you shoot all the cameras, because one time when we first started playing, we weren't really paying attention, and they took us out in record time.
Yeah,
it wasn't even like 3 minutes.
They
and we were like,
see everything we were doing because the cameras. We were like, oh, shoot the cameras. And one thing that's funny is you're supposed to find the bank manager, and he's talking on his phone. Oh, hey, how's it going? And the game, I don't know if it's glitchy or what, but I was like, get down on the ground. And I'm zip time. And he goes, no, I'm doing fine. And he's like still talking on the phone. It's like, I got him on the floor zip time.
There's a clip on YouTube where it's the same thing.
Yeah, I'm doing all right. Okay, I'll talk to you later. Hey, why don't we do lunch? And it's like, dude, you're being tied down. I'm taking your key card. But it's a lot of fun, Bill, and it was nice to see a cool computer game on my computer since I got a new one, so I haven't seen that. So it's a lot of fun.
For the next one.
Yeah, what are we going to do? What's the next game we're going to play?
The next one is the beta for Star Wars The Old Republic.
Oh, wait, that does make sense. Star Wars The Old Republic.
Yeah, Darth Malgus doesn't have a breathing apparatus.
I want one that's a... You know when you were a kid and kids would do Darth Vader impression, they go, I'm Darth Vader. It's like, he doesn't sound like that.
You're asthmatic Darth Vader.
I'm Darth Vader. It's like, no, it's like,
I'm out of breath, Darth Vader.
Like that. Oh, and Bill, I want to give a shout out to Da Flying Squirrel. He came through for us and joined our guild.
Yes.
And he got his, I believe, his cousin to join us, too. So we have enough people to form our solid guild.
Yep. Our guild is ready for deployment, it said.
Rangers of Old Intrepid. And he told me about his friend who has in another guild, and I made allies with them so we could all be on the same server.
Excellent.
Which would be cool. And, hey, guys, if you plan on playing Star Wars The Old Republic and you're going to pre-order the game, and find us... find a link in the Norm Mulberry fan club.
Or go to Google and type in Rangers of Old Intrepid, and we're the first link.
Right, and join us. It'll be cool to play games together with our lightsabers. Lightsabers!
Yeah, I'm going to start out doing the Jedi Knight because I enjoyed it so much in the beta. But I'm definitely going to try, maybe if they work on Smuggler a little bit, I'll go back to it. But it's got to speed up. It's got to be faster if you're going to be in a group with a bunch of melee guys.
I'm planning on going Jedi Consular, Bill. I'm going to give
that's
that
the like the dangerous healer type, right?
Right. I'm going to plan on doing that, picking that out, because you know I can't not have a lightsaber.
Yeah.
Who knows, man? Maybe we'll try all the other stuff. But that's going to be fun.
It's going to be so much fun. And I hope anybody who's planning on playing can join the huge beta that's happening this weekend, this coming weekend.
Yeah.
The 25th through the 28th.
I'm hoping I get time to play that. That'll be fun.
You can get keys. If you haven't signed up on the website, you can get beta keys from all kinds of different places like IGN and a number
that.
Of other sites.
But yeah, and since I already got invited, it said if you've already been invited, don't do those. You might do something.
Yeah, exactly.
Else. Good news and bad news.
Yes, exactly. Now, guys, we have one voicemail from Adam. He came through for us.
Well, that was nice of him.
Because, you know, right now our voicemail isn't working, K7 voicemail, because they're bastards. I don't know what's going on there. It was a free service that worked for like 6 years, and then it decides to not work anymore.
I'm waiting for L7 voicemail to start up.
Yes. We will definitely use that if it gets started. But
they'll pretend they're dead.
Adam sent me Oh, that's a nice little reference there, Bill.
Sorry.
You're getting the references too, right, Steven? Adam, I just said, send me a voicemail on my phone, and I'll just jack it through the computer, and we'll hear it like that. So let's check it out.
What's going on, Nowhere in Mulberry? It's Adam from the Bay Area. Hey, man, I just wanted to call you guys and let you know that I've been enjoying some old-school NIMH episodes at random. My iPod broke yet again. I've gone through a lot over the years. And I've recently got one that is broken that I'm using where no text comes up on the screen. So I have no idea which episode that I'm listening to. So I just keep listening to them at random. But it's been great because some of the episodes were some of the first ones I ever listened to of Nowhere in Mulberry. I believe it was episodes 150 to 153. Ross introduced the podcast to me because he looked up like the top 10 most listened on podcast Pickle, and your guys came up. He gave it a shot. He loved it. Share it with me. We love it. It's very nostalgic going back to those episodes because it's the first time I ever got a dose of the NIMH goodness. But anyways, I'd like to share some just random things. Sadly enough, I don't have episode numbers or titles to go with this stuff, but there was this one episode where Uwe Boll sent you guys a voicemail. That was very cool, very funny. What did he say? He said something like, why you get off on me like crazy? That wasn't from the actual voicemail. That was from another Uwe Boll recorded thing that he did. But you guys played it on your show. Also, Matt Lauer interviewed Denise Richards and was reading off some sort of letter that came from, that was supposedly coming from Denise Richards to Charlie Sheen. And it said something like, I would like a sperm donation. So Matt Lauer read it off. He's like, I would like a sperm donation. And Foggy turned it into a clip. And then Bill went, I'll give you a sperm donation. And everybody cracked up. And even though it's very juvenile, it made me laugh a lot. And then one episode, Shannon came on, Bill's sister, and it was awesome. She was very cool, very low-key, laid back. It'd be cool to see her and Laura be on the show at the same time because they're just both really down-to-earth gals and very friendly and easygoing. I think it would make a good dynamic. And but she was great on there, and they talked about how she would dress up Billy, as she called him, up like a little doll, or like basically she said that their sister, Bill's sister, treated him like a grown doll.
It was. I'm still scarred.
She delivered a Snakes on a Plane reference that was way out of date, and then Bill made fun of him. So you got Bill's impersonation of Steven's impersonation of Samuel Jackson's character from Snakes on a Plane. It was really breathy. Bill did a really good job. Other than that, I think that, Hell's Kitchen, Petrozza two times. There was a 20-ingredient challenge where some guy left out the veal, and you got Petrozza two times going, it was right there. It was right there. And it's so funny because the dude would really say everything two times. So Petrozza two times is very fitting. I love you guys. I love your guys' show. It has kept me so, so busy and, like, happy when I'm working on my house in the cold, rainy weather. And I can't wait to hear this week's episode. I'm an episode behind. I think I just realized that tonight is actually your 250th episode.
Yes, it is.
So I needed to say, like, happy 250th episode. I just wanted to congratulate you and wish you guys the best. Thank you for all the NIMH happiness you've given me over the past couple years. I love your guys' podcast, and you guys keep doing it for another two. Here's to another 250, guys. All right, thanks.
Oh, my God.
Can't wait to listen.
It was right there. It was right there.
I can't think about another 250 right now.
Yeah, just, that's a little much.
Let's just think about this episode, okay? But thank you, Adam. That means a lot to me. And it's so cool that Adam can listen to the old shows and talk to me about them. Because like I always say, you know, the episode came and went and we didn't get that much feedback about it, so it's nice to hear about it later. I'll take it at any time. You know, there's no statute of limitations on old shows.
Absolutely. Plus, it reminds us of good times past.
It does. I remember.
Like, I loved having Shannon on the show because she was sitting right next to me, and it was someone I could look at.
Remember, that was the episode. I always remember this because it was about the girls who stole from the little Girl Scout.
Yes.
The little bitchy girls who just took her money. And it was so funny just how nonchalant they were about just stealing.
They weren't doing anything with it.
Yeah, little shits, you know. That was good times. Good stuff.
It was.
If any, you know, there's some episodes in Nowhere Mulberry Old School, guys, if you want to check out any old shows. You know, if we go a couple of weeks without doing a show or something, you always got that old those old episodes to check out. I know it's not current shows, but maybe there'll be something that's entertaining. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
All right, guys, let's check out entertainment. What do you say? Let's do it. All right, guys, we don't need to talk about movies that came out this week, really. I mean, we got the Twilight movie. Steven, you and I will go see that together tomorrow.
Sure. I'm going to go see The Descendants tomorrow, the George Clooney movie.
Getting
the
outstanding reviews, yeah. Bill.
Well, I like Alexander Payne as a writer and director. He's okay.
Okay, tell me who he is, because I wondered that when I saw the credits.
Alexander Payne's the guy that did Sideways. What else did he write on? About Schmidt. Remember the movie
Schmidt?
With Jack Nicholson, where he keeps writing the African child, Dear Ndugu.
I sure do.
Who doesn't like money? I know it's a crime, but it was an easy crime.
Okay, thanks.
And he did Election, the one with.
Oh, okay. Yeah, he's good.
So he kind of does. They can be funny, but they're also tragic.
Yeah. Okay.
So I always kind of like his films. They
sold me.
Yeah, they're not normally they're not conventional films.
Right. I would definitely check that out. You know, I was excited this week because Bill, you didn't. It was funny because you were like, "When the hell did you read this? You didn't tell me about it." It was
The Hunger Games.
The Hunger Games trailer came out. I read it a while back. In fact, Barnes & Nobles was going out of business, and I picked up all three books.
Mm-hmm. Oh, really?
And it was based on the fact that a while back, I read a review on Entertainment Weekly that Stephen King reviewed the book. And I'm trying to think of why I was interested. Maybe it was the cover. Yeah, I remember what it was. On Entertainment Weekly, they did... Jennifer Lawrence is playing the lead character in The Hunger Games, and they had a picture of her from that. And at the bottom of any kind of stories they do is a link, and it says Stephen King reviews The Hunger Games. And I was like, oh, okay, let me check this out. So I read his review, and he made it sound really interesting. You know, but what's funny is it's a Scholastic book. It's for teens. So I was like,
Young adult market.
And right away, you know, in the comment sections, everyone's like, it sounds just like
Running Man.
No,
Battle Royale.
No, Battle Royale. It sounds, everyone's like, oh, it's just like Battle Royale or whatever. It's teens fighting each other. So I was like, okay, that's interesting. Because, Bill, you sent that movie to me a long time ago. Need to watch it, right?
Oh, I love Battle Royale. The sequel's okay, but it's not the original. But the book itself is fantastic.
What is cool about The Hunger Games, even though it was hard for me to get past the whole Scholastic book thing until I read it. Then I was like, oh, okay, I can see books can have violence and stuff in it, even though it's for younger teens. But basically what The Hunger Games is about, it's kind of like a post-apocalyptic United States that has then been rebuilt.
Mm-hmm.
And there's been like a civil war, and everything kind of sucked, and everything, and
everyone's following the postman now.
No, not that bad, but I'm sure they do have a postal service though.
Oh,
but they've separated the United States of what's left to it into districts, and it's all ruled by the Capitol. Everyone has to do what the Capitol says. It kind of sucks, and it's oppressive, and because of the I don't know how many years, 20 years, whatever. There was a rebellion, and they fought it off. But now, to keep people in check, they make your kids volunteer for the Hunger Games every year. It's an annual thing where two children from each district have to go and fight to the death.
Mm.
Whoever wins the Hunger Games, though, they're set up for life. They get a house for their family, and they're celebrities, I guess, because everyone has to view the Hunger Games. It's, you know, it's all – everyone gets to watch it. It's like the only entertainment they have. So,
okay, so it's a mix of like Battle Royale and a Running Games,
yeah,
or Running Man. So.
Yeah, very similar to that. So it's got all those different concepts and stuff. But the main thing, like you could compare, like say Twilight, which is Bella, and you know, she's like, she's in love with a vampire and a werewolf or whatever, and she's kind of a, I've seen a couple of those. There's one, the second one, where she's so codependent without Edward there, she's so sad, and she even sees him in ghost form because he moved away and she just can't get over it. Well, the character in The Hunger Games is not like that. She's a survivor. She can hunt and track. She can do what Daryl does in The Walking Dead, but she's a teenager, you know. She can handle herself, which I think is a better role model for girls than, say, Bella, who's like, oh, he's gone. Oh, you know, my boyfriend, he's a vampire and he's sparkly or whatever. But so I
can't wait to have sex with him. But when I, you know, it's going to be so wonderful. Yep, and
I've
magical.
Seen the commercials to the nude. I'm like, what is going on?
Yeah, and apparently they had sex, and now she's like instantly pregnant.
Yeah, I guess
that reminds me of the Anne Rice books, the Witching Hour books, where what happens is whenever you have sex with a Taltos, I think the species was, you give birth to like a full size Taltos.
What the hell's a Taltos? Sounds
they're like these
kind of
crazy.
Chip.
Oh God, it's so detailed. The craziness.
A big bag of Taltos. Those are good.
Yes,
nacho,
they're delicious.
Nacho flavor. But you know, there's True Blood, there's Twilight, and there's Vampire Diaries. I say go for Vampire Diaries. I would just entertain the hell out of that show because it's got werewolves and vampires and stuff. But people get killed on every episode of that show. They get slaughtered. It's so entertaining.
Nice.
But anyway, back to the Hunger Games. When I saw who directed the Hunger Games, it's the guy who did Pleasantville, right? Is it Gary Ross? Ross?
Oh, yeah. The guy that did Seabiscuit.
Yeah, I was like, this could be good. I mean, he's a good director. And when I saw the trailer, a while back was the MTV Movie Awards or something. They did a special teaser to the Hunger Games.
It was just like a forest.
It was
or
nothing.
Something.
There was like fire and her running. Obviously, they had no footage yet cut together, and I was like, "Oh wow, that just showed me nothing." So I was really pleasantly surprised by this recent trailer, and I was like, "Okay, you know, it looks decent." You know,
the trailer looked corny to me. I mean, I like Jennifer Lawrence. She's, you know, she's a good actress and she's hot. Mm-hmm. There was a guy with really bizarre facial hair. Right.
The whole idea is the capital where all the people who are live decadently and they don't care about the poor people. They all
apparently they have really bad style.
They do. It's all they have technology and shit, and they're all like dressed ridiculous. And regular people who are poor, they're like, they just don't even, you know, it's like, what the hell are these people?
It's like a cyberpunk fusion kind
right.
of thing.
They look down on you know, other people in the other districts and stuff. Oh,
my big hang up on the entire thing is that kid, that Josh Hutcherson, is it?
Right.
He's in it, and I don't know what character he plays, but he's quite possibly one of the most irritatingly awful actors ever, and I don't know how he got cast in a movie.
Right.
And I mean, since I saw him in that Bridge to Terabithia, I've not been able to stand him, and now that he's older, he's even worse.
Well, I've seen him in Zathura when he was a kid.
Yeah, but he was a kid. He's, you know, how long ago
was
that?
I mean, we'll wait and see.
Like 2005?
I have nothing against the guy. I don't know. But,
he's awful.
I'm curious to see it. I mean, I don't know why he's awful, but you're telling me he is. So
he's just wooden.
Okay.
It's like he wants to convey an emotion and he can't.
Maybe his character's supposed to be wooden, you know? Right?
Maybe.
Like Pinocchio or something.
Maybe I'll love him after this.
Yeah, I doubt it.
Yeah.
So you've already made up your mind.
Maybe
so
he can make another Journey to the Center of the Earth movie.
That was... you're right. He was in that. I've seen that.
Yeah.
With, what's his face? Mummy guy.
Yeah, with Brendan Fraser. And I think they did another one with The Rock. Because apparently Brendan Fraser was unavailable.
Yeah, he's like, no, I've been there, done that. And it's like, dude, what else you got going?
He's like, oh, I'm going to do another sequel to, you know, George of the Jungle.
Yeah, also a great movie, huh? So anyway, I'm excited about the Hunger Games.
Oh, I see. He's busy on William Tell 3D.
Nice. What? But you know what I'm excited? Next week, The Muppets. Totally going to see that. Hell yes.
I don't know if I'd go see that in the theater, but I'm definitely looking forward to it.
Way to go, Steve. That's good stuff.
Love the Muppets.
Yes, I love the Muppets. Can't wait to take Emma to that.
And I like how self-depreciating, is it? Or
deprecating.
Deprecating, yeah, sorry. They are being in the trailers and previews of it, kind of like, you know, oh, you guys are so out of style kind of thing.
Yeah, they're doing a lot of spoofs of other trailers and stuff. Yeah. I saw that. Was there, what was the latest one?
Was it the Saw one?
Oh, yeah, there was the Saw one. There was something with Miss Piggy, but I can't remember what it was now.
Was that the girl with the dragon tattoo?
I can't remember.
They've been promoting it properly for, like, internet geeks and then just sticking to the TV for everyday people.
Yeah, that's something we'll probably go see it on Thanksgiving, day after Thanksgiving.
That's nice.
You know, take a minute to see that. It's cool. Because, you know what, she knows Sesame Street and stuff, but she hasn't seen, like, the Muppet Show and stuff.
You should rent or look on Netflix and see if they have, like, the Great Muppet Caper and Muppets Take Manhattan and stuff like that and show them to her.
Yeah, totally. Definitely.
Because I remember that was one of my first movies I ever saw in the theater was Muppets Take Manhattan.
Yeah, I think the Muppet movie, I remember seeing that in the theater. Mm-hmm. Seeing a lot of the Muppets. Until, you know, I got older and that's too cool. But now, you know, I'm back to wanting to see the Muppets again. Yeah. All right, guys, let's check out what's on our TiVo. What do you say?
Let's do it.
All right. You know, I guess they haven't showed us enough idiots on Cake Boss, so they had to show Buddy's nephew now. I guess, no, wait.
He's been on there before.
Oh, okay. His wife's brother.
Yeah, I thought it was, he says it's his nephew, so would it be his wife's sister's son?
Is that what he is?
Yeah.
He's a jackass, isn't he? Because it's his birthday, and he's describing what kind of cake he wants, but he wants to make it himself. He wants it to have fire and smoke and be crazy. And the guy's a jackass. He's, like, wiring it up. He wants to, like, have a hose going through his cake with some gasoline, and he wants to step on, like, this cushion to push the gas through and for it to shoot a flame, like, straight up in the air or something. And, of course, when Lisa sees what he's doing, she freaks out. And
Buddy!
He's a jackass. Let's check this out.
I want fire. I want crazy smoke. I want volcanoes. I want it to look like you're at a tiki bar on the beach, just times a million.
It's wood and straw. You really want to light something on fire? We can... You're begging for something bad to happen.
I really want fire on his cake, so I'm just going to do it myself. I mean, nobody else wants to do it. Siphon that end out, Phil. Suck on that end. When you taste the alcohol, that means it's all the way through.
Okay.
I'm going to fill this with grain alcohol. I'm going to squeeze the bottle. I'm going to light it, and it's going to shoot out flames. It's going to be awesome.
Is that a good idea?
Okay, it's alcohol. Phil's a volunteer fireman, so I want him to help me out on this. I mean, I want it to be safe, but it's Phil.
What are you doing?
I'm making stuff go on fire.
What is this for?
For my birthday cake.
Why does there have to be fire coming out of your birthday cake?
Why wouldn't there be?
Because it's dangerous and it's my house and I don't want it to go up in flames?
It won't. We have a fire extinguisher.
Did you tell my husband about this?
Kind of.
What do you mean, kind of? He agreed to this?
Nah.
I'm going to go tell him.
All right.
And you might as well stop doing this because it's not going to happen.
Oh, my gosh.
Buddy?
She's almost worse than the sisters.
Buddy here? Wait till you see what he's got. Then he's got this stupid little tube, and he's got his friend holding it next to his face.
This blows up in your face. I'm putting it out with your face.
You ever did that by that tiki? You think the whole tiki will light on fire?
Huh? Are we good to go?
Look. Where is this going? Where is this happening?
Oh, calm down. It's just a little bit of fire. Are we good to go?
It's just a little tiny bit of fire. What's the deal?
Look.
So how many is your 21st birthday?
He came up with this bright idea for this tiki cake, but he's such a momo, he can't even start a fire on it.
What? I ain't telling you, but you shot a dud.
Well, we're all still alive. Listen, there's no fire in my house. No fire special effects for this cake. That's it.
It worked, ish.
Put the booze in the back and let's go. Back to work.
He really is a momo.
What is
a momo?
I think it's a simple way of saying moron, maybe.
Ah. He's Potts?
He's Potts. Yeah, I'm looking on Wikipedia. Maurizio Belgiovini is Lisa's younger brother.
Ah, and he's a jackass.
So why would Buddy call him his nephew? He would say his brother.
Why doesn't it bother them that each new generation of their family it seems to be dumber? Is it not bothering them at all?
No.
They're going to burn down Lekwana.
Lekwana, you're burning it down! So that's, Cake Boss. You know, trying to find something entertaining.
Yeah, it wasn't a particularly good episode because other than that, you had him making a cake for some movie in Connecticut.
He's such a momo.
The two producers were obsessed with pieing each other.
Yeah.
I think they want to do something more than that to one another. There was something else. What else was there?
I don't know.
And then there was that it? The thing with his kids trying on suits.
Yeah, that was exciting. That's good television.
Even the kids were bored of being filmed.
Why wouldn't there be?
Now, Bill, let's talk about Kitchen Nightmares, part two of the Burger Kitchen. Some very serious shit. And at first I thought Gordon was going to do what he did before, on another episode where he brought him to a movie theater and showed like a film of him interviewing old customers. But here he had the Yelpers, the people on Yelp.
Yeah.
Talk about what they hated about this, and it's so tacky how the wife like pretending like she's falling asleep. She's like,
she is something special.
Do you know it's like the dark, dark circles under her eyes?
Yeah, maybe she's insomnia. Maybe she has sleep apnea.
She's a mess. But let's check this out, Yelpers. Oh, and I noticed something weird. I told Bill you this right away that. One of the Yelpers was the guy who had the taco place on America's Best Restaurant, America's Next Great Restaurant. Remember that show? He was like this cocky dude who wanted like a hard rock kind of taco.
Oh, yeah. He had the barbed wire taco sign.
Yeah. He was one of the Yelpers there. And I was like, what? Because I remember on the show, he was like, oh, you're a Gordon Ramsay girl, the chef. She goes, how'd you know that? He goes, I just know. And I don't know, now he's here with Gordon Ramsay on the show and he's
Revolution Tacos.
Yeah, that was it. Revolution Tacos. Let's check this out.
Ladies and gentlemen, may I present the Yelpers. Good morning. Wow, there's a lot of Yelpers.
Wow. Chef Ramsay had the absolute nerve to reach out to Yelpers. They are deliberately attacking my restaurant.
Wow. They're the actual Yelpers.
Every Yelper lies. They hurt and damage restaurants by doing this.
Okay, Alan, listen carefully. You were 100% convinced that those negative reviews were part of a conspiracy. Is there a plot against you from Yelp to close this business?
No question in my mind.
Alan, there's someone I'd like you to meet. This lady is the community manager for Yelp, Katie Burbank.
Hi. Hello, Alan, Katie. I know that you're very frustrated, but they're all real. We're all real. All of our reviews mean something. It's feedback for you to use however you'd like.
Hi. I'm a big rooter for you guys. I am. And I wanted to love your burger so bad. Like, I love burgers. And I didn't.
We came in expecting to spend $26 on an amazing burger.
Holy shit.
Wasn't amazing.
I was expecting an explosion of flavor, but I pretty much didn't taste anything.
What I got in the burger was an extremely unflavorful, huge piece of meat that had the consistency of a nasty loaf of meatloaf. I absolutely detest what's served at your restaurant.
I'm not like an avid Yelper. In fact, I created the account just to comment on your place because that burger was so disappointing.
In the end, it was a big poo smear of a horrible experience.
Delicious.
I too signed up for Yelp just to write a review, and it was the one and only Yelp review we have ever written.
Interesting that customers are purposely opening accounts to post a comment.
Wrote a review. I received a response from you that basically told me I didn't know what I was talking about, and it was essentially my fault that I had a bad review.
I wrote my review on Yelp only to be met with sort of a barrage of emails from you. And you told me that you thought we were the competition, and you told me that you thought we were out to get you. At one point, you threatened to turn us over to the hate crime division of the LAPD.
Instead of saying, sorry, come back in, I will make it better, it was kind of an attack. And to me, it felt like maybe this place is hopeless because you're not taking the criticism. Well,
Jen, am I keeping you up, darling? Would you like a blanket?
I was angry at my mom for falling asleep. I don't know what she was trying to pull there.
We've been here 10 minutes, and I'd like you to look good. But to watch you sit there and snore, I think is the height of bad manners. Unbelievable. I mean, unbelievable. They're customers.
No. You're missing my point completely. This is what's driving me nuts. Every single one of these people here, everyone, you.
Enough of this is ridiculous. You are so obsessed with this becoming 5 stars, 4 stars.
No.
It's an arbitrary number, man.
It's totally arbitrary.
Yeah, man, it's like an arbitrary poo smear.
Yeah, what was that chick talking about? It doesn't sound appetizing.
I think she was on Work of Art.
Why? What is it, when Gordon goes in there and, like, he has a new menu, like, here's a new menu, these great burgers or whatever, it all seems so easy, doesn't it? I don't know.
I think people get bogged down in thinking they have to give people choice, but what people really want is a limited, you don't want to have to go, well, let's see, you don't want to have to make a big decision. You want to look at it like maybe 8 burgers.
Yeah, a little bit of familiarity.
I think that one appeals to me the most. I'll take that one.
Yeah, they don't want to be overwhelmed and some familiarity, right? You know, and for it just to taste good. And then after you're successful a while, maybe spin off and do something like cool for a month or whatever. Like
special.
Add a burger that month.
Yeah, something like that. But before they get there, they had to sit down and have a chat, and that's when Gordon tells him he read his book, Gentle Satan, and this is what he got from reading the book.
Out of context quote.
I got told to get back and read this.
My book.
You wrote a book.
Yeah. Gentle Satan. It was about my father. That's what my mother called him.
I stayed up to 4 o'clock this morning because it's almost like I was living it live. Yet I was seeing a reenact of the same scenario. I mean, let me read you a few
extracts. He's a mob boss?
He hated being called out on his behavior, especially by his son. I was caught in a tug of war between my mother and father. Does this sound familiar?
Yes.
He didn't listen to anyone else's opinion, and he did as he chose in his business ventures. Come on. The way you describe your father, it's exactly the way Daniel would describe you, and I'm sorry to tell you this, but you've got to listen. It's a sequel, but it's live, and it's going on in these four walls.
Yes, it is.
And not involving murders and millions of dollars.
I see exactly what Chef Ramsay has brought up. I mean it. I was wrong. It's irrelevant of everything else. But I apologize to both of you.
The dad turned around fast after that example, didn't you?
With all of my heart, I have done the wrong thing. If we can't get together, we might as well just close the door now.
That's the smartest thing you've said since I've been through these doors. We need to draw a line in the sand, forgive and forget, and move forward. And that's exactly what Daniel's asked you to do.
I will do my best.
Forget the business. The most important thing in life is family. Now, maybe we can begin, and moving forward. And focus on the restaurant, okay?
You know, he apologized for stuff, but he was really, like, not hitting on exactly what he's apologizing for. He didn't say, I'm sorry for taking
the money.
He's like,
I know I have to apologize, but I don't know what for.
He didn't explain, like, what he did wrong. But, hey, maybe the kid will just take whatever he can get. But I did think it was interesting later when Gordon says that, I never got to have a sit down with my dad and forgive him for everything or apologize to me. He didn't have any kind of reconciliation before his dad died, and I guess he regrets that. So he was telling the kid that.
There was a really good emotional connection between Gordon and the kid.
Yeah, you could tell he identified with him. And then he tells the guy, he goes, I believe in you. And the guy's just like, whoa, thanks. Just like, you could tell it means a lot to him for Gordon to tell him that.
Yeah, I honestly hope they succeed. If I was out in L.A., I would go to the Burger Kitchen just for to support that kid.
Yeah.
Because he deserves it. He's been through hell.
And it's funny, like, the parents, they hate his girlfriend because his girlfriend's the only one defending him.
Right. Yeah, the girlfriend is the only one with any sense left, and she just can't take it anymore.
Yeah, she defends him. And so they're like, she's a bitch. She's always tacky and yelling at us. It's like, because he's so beaten down.
Wait, it's like, what, you're not always tacky and yelling at her?
Yeah, so it's interesting. And she's one
that
of those girls.
That mother is just, oh.
She's one of those girls that wears hats.
I don't get that. And he's one of the guys that wear hats. I don't. Yeah. I mean, I understand when you're going like bald, Joey, you kind of want to cover it up, but.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Shave it, go.
Yeah. Or.
Well, I just don't know. Just let it go naturally if you have to.
It seems like a lot of bald guys do wear flat caps.
I'm not saying you shave it, but. Trim it down. Don't have the Larry
he
Fine.
He had that, yeah, the curly.
Hey, Larry Fine was a magnificent human being and a leader of men.
He was quite a stud, you know. he's a very handsome man.
You ever hear him at Woodstock?
Hello, hello. Now, last week we talked a little bit about Top Secret Recipe, Stephen. It's the show about Todd Wilbur, the food hacker.
Mr. Wilbur.
Yeah, Mr. Wilbur. He goes, every week he goes somewhere else in the country to hack a food. This week he's doing Mrs. Fields cookies. He's trying to copy the Mrs. Fields chocolate chip cookie.
Because everyone wants to copy them.
And it's funny, you know, Heather was watching me. I was watching this and she was in the room. Uh-huh. And she couldn't stand how phony everything was.
Yeah, like it is it's like comically theatrical.
When he's going to meet the head of Mrs. Fields, and he's like, well, I can't let you know any specifics about this. And, you know, he's like sneaking some chocolate chips into his pocket. Heather's like, what? Why are you watching this again? I'm like, what? It's just a silly show with a guy. She goes, but yeah, but it's so staged. Like, the guy... Yeah. The guy saw him put the chocolate chips, but he's not saying anything. I know it's fake, but still, I'm watching. It's just, or whatever. You know, the guy.
It's goofy. Can't take it seriously.
It is, and it was driving her nuts.
And everything he tries to make, you go, well, why would you want to do that?
Right. Like Mrs. Fields cookies. And
like a blooming onion. Who the hell wants to make a blooming onion at home?
They have malts here, Mrs. Fields in the mall. I know I've eaten it somewhere, Mrs. Fields.
I've seen those are the places that you can go and they like have those gigantic cookies.
Uh huh. Yeah. Oh, like, yeah. When I was a kid, I always wanted one of those giant chocolate chips with the icing on it.
Factory, yeah.
Yeah, like the original cookie. I love mall cookies when you go, and I like to get one of the giant M&M kind or something. Those are good, man.
I always got the big chocolate chip.
Yeah, that shit is good, yo. So he's sitting here, he's trying to do this, but I made an example of how goofy the show is because he decides he can't do this without the help of Mrs. Fields. He's got to get a hold of her, but
No.
He doesn't know where she is, so here's a little
She's dead.
He's trying to get a hold of Mrs. Fields. Let's check this out.
I'm desperate, and at this point, there's only one place I know where I can get answers.
Hello?
Hi, Debbie Fields?
Debbie is my daughter. She's not here anymore.
I'm looking for the Debbie Fields of Mrs. Fields Cookies.
Oh, I have no idea.
You know how to make cookies? Chocolate chip cookies.
No, I don't have anything in my family. Good luck.
Thank you. Here's another one. Another Fields.
The number you have reached is not in service.
Is he calling numbers from the phone book?
Yes.
No.
Hello. Hi, I'm looking for Debbie Fields. She invented Mrs. Fields chocolate chip cookies. Is there someone there that can speak English?
No English.
Do you know how to make chocolate chip cookies?
Tacos?
No, chocolate chip cookies. Sorry. Okay, that's obviously not her. Time to get a new idea. How can I find the creator? Where is Debbie Fields? If I'm going to locate her, I'm going to need to get some help
from a professional. Police use psychics all the time to find missing people.
Have you had a reading before?
No, I haven't. I'm trying to locate somebody. Someone that's important.
I just want you to know that this is a protected space.
What does that mean?
That means that like the crazy energy that can come in and out of the store doesn't come into the space.
Oh, okay. Right here. This might give you a clue.
Right.
This is who I'm looking for.
Oh.
Okay.
I love her.
Yeah. Here's what's going on. I am going to be up against the real Mrs. Fields cookie in a taste test. So I'm trying to find this person. I need to know where this person is. Anything special there?
I don't know if she really likes you. Just to be honest with you.
What did I do?
She's a good, smart businesswoman. Why would she want you to have this information?
I just want to match their cookies. I don't want to be better than them. Is there anything you can feel about this cookie and its ingredients?
I am feeling a lot of pushback. And really, the message here for you is to really calm down, okay?
Okay.
I want you to light a candle.
Stop being a douchebag.
Hold this rock.
Okay.
You can access this.
Okay.
Okay? And I'm not just dropping it. What I'm telling you is that you can access that yourself.
I will tap into
what the hell is she talking about?
Somewhere inside of me. Nothing. All the information is there.
All right.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Wow.
This was a total waste of time.
Yes.
Like your show.
So like every week, he finally figures out at the last minute what he's doing wrong, and he needed to freeze the cookie dough and then stick it in the oven. And that
everyone that makes cookies knows you have to chill the dough before you bake it.
He figures it out at the end there, Bill.
He's an idiot.
So they do the thing where they have the panel of judges and his cookie and Mrs. Fields' cookies. He does this every week with whatever. He loses again.
Of course he loses.
He hasn't won a single one of the competitions. He always has at least one person. They never pick his. They just say, I'm not sure, so I'm not going to pick. And he goes, that's a win for me because they don't know. So that's a win for me.
Yeah, and that's exactly what happened. That's what happened on the Blooming Onion episode.
It happens every episode. And then the two other people are like, oh, this is Mrs. Fields. And they're exactly right. They're like, I just knew it tasted better or whatever.
It tasted better. Then, it tastes like shit.
They have a goofy thing where he's like, hey, you said if you lost, you would come work in our gift shop and wrap cookies or whatever. And he's like, oh, man. And then he's got to do that. And it's like, wah, wah, wah.
This is the worst show ever.
I know.
I'm watching this show every week. Oh, and Debbie Fields is still alive.
Yeah.
She's 55 years old. Did he ever meet her?
No. They wouldn't tell him where she was. I don't know why he didn't look on the internet.
Why didn't he look on Wikipedia? She lives in Tennessee.
I'm looking at it right now. Instead, they did the psychic thing, Bill. So, yeah.
Oh.
Oh, and there's a weird part where he goes. He goes into a Mrs. Fields in the mall because he needs to know what temperature they cook the cookies at and for how long. So he's like, yeah, I'm an electrician here. We're just checking out the wiring. And the lady's like, what? And he steals
the oven?
He puts a hidden camera filming the oven area where they're at. So he's got footage of them working all day and tracking. And I'm like, pretty sure this is completely illegal.
Yeah.
If it weren't staged, right?
So if it weren't staged.
The show is completely ridiculous. And, of course, that's a recipe for me to watch if it's completely ridiculous. All right?
But, again, this is another one of those things where it's like, who the hell goes, you know, I love Mrs. Fields cookies so much, I want to know how to make them.
Right.
I have to know the exact recipe.
I know. Because
these are so good. Like, I can't just make Alton Brown's recipes or Toll House's recipes. I need Mrs. Fields.
I don't know. And next week, when I saw what next week's episode is, because I'm always curious, like, okay, what is he going to do next week? Because so far he's done Cinnabon, he's done Domino's Pizza, he's done Dippin' Dots.
Things I would never eat anymore.
He's supposed to do KFC too.
He's already done KFC, okay. Yeah.
Failed miserably.
Next week, and I saw what he's doing, and I go, why? He's doing Chili's Baby Back Ribs.
Sponsored by Chili's.
Right. So, if the company that you're trying to hack, do the food hacking, is sponsoring your show, I don't think you're ever going to be successful because they.
I know how you make Chili's baby back ribs.
I want my baby back ribs.
You get them from a supplier. They come vacuum sealed.
Yeah.
Put them in an oven, and then you douse them in shitty sweet
barbecue sauce. They come frozen, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're already cooked. They're pre-cooked.
Exactly. You know, I think it was Cheesecake Factory. They used to have these ribs there. So good. Falling off the bone with onion strings. Mm-hmm. And, God, they were so good. And they stopped. They don't have them on the menu anymore. And it's probably because they were paying the ass to make. I don't know whatever. So one time we're at Chili's for one of these school functions where it's like, support the school, eat at Chili's with your family. So you do it, and the money goes to your school. So I'm like, God, I'm going to go ahead. I've never had them before, the baby back ribs.
Give me my baby back, baby back.
They taste like shit. They're not good at all.
Yeah, they're terrible.
Go to any barbecue place. You have 10 times better ribs.
I mean, I would – what you do, you want ribs – you ask around, you look for one of those guys that are on the side of the road with an old smoker, and you go there and get them. Because those are the real deal. They've been smoking for anywhere from 5 to 12 hours. Those are ribs. That's good right. shit. You don't go to Chili's for ribs. You don't go, man, I really want ribs. Let's go to Chili's.
Yeah, so, yeah. I don't know why he's doing that, but I guess they're a sponsor next week.
Yeah, that's why I think each week the it's a sponsor because it's really just a half hour commercial.
Right. Or is the show an hour long? The show's an hour long, Bill.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
An hour long.
I mean, it takes 20 minutes to mix and make cookies after you eat.
No, it's a 30-minute show. I don't know what I'm smoking.
Yeah, well, you have to chill the dough, Stephen, for at least two hours.
He goes to this weird... Okay, I just remembered a part where he goes to a chocolate shop because he wants to get the chocolate chip right, and he can't with store-bought. So he goes into the store, and he's going, ding, ding, and you hear, can I help you? And he's looking around like, huh? He goes, hello? Yes, can I help you? The camera pans down. It's a dwarf guy. But they do the whole bit where he's looking around like, hello? Hello? I don't see you. And it's a dwarf couple that are actually running the place. And
that's not offensive.
They can't just do a where he walks in and goes, hi, nice to meet you or whatever. They got to do a whole bit where he doesn't see them because they're short.
Look at you. You're so short.
And the guy was giving him a hard time. You could tell he thinks he's a douche. He goes, hey, do you have any chocolate chips that would be kind of like this? And they're like, well, we have one that tastes like, oh, go get it for me. And he goes, get it for you?
Yeah.
And he goes, oh, I'm sorry. Could you please get it for me? I really want to try it out. And he goes, okay. And he walks away. And you can tell he's just like, who is this asshole who's making fun of that I'm short because he can't see me? Like, huh? Hello? Hello? And he's looking up at him. He's like so dickheaded.
That's terrible.
Yeah.
That's just... It's so bad, I can't wait to watch it next week.
I'm hooked, man. I'm going to watch this piece of shit show every it is week.
You kind of wonder, did he ask them to, like, dress up like as Oompa Loompas or something? No, we won't do it.
Did I just step into... did I just step into the Wizard of Oz land?
Good news and bad news.
Exactly. All right,
guys.
Are
you the Lollipop Guild?
Let's take a break, Bill and Steven, and we'll be right back. We'll talk about Top Chef Texas. All right. Yeah! Right? Something like that. All right, guys. We'll be right back.
This blows up in your face. I'm putting it out with your face.
Get ready for an ultimate challenge. You build them super fast. You customize them to compete. You pick the power. Which will win, Slicks or Navi? Now you race in the ultimate challenge. Matchbox Super Fast Machines Ultimate Challenge. Batteries not included. You put it together.
We got the best tree they had, and special gifts for mom and dad. It's the best time of year. Now everyone's here. So house, it's good to be home.
Chocolatey, warm Toll House cookies made only with Nestle Toll House morsels. Make your house a Toll House.
Toll House, it's good to be home.
America's homecoming week continues with Bugs Bunny's hot tips for a perfect Thanksgiving. First, find the perfect bird, and above all, stay calm. It's Bugs Bunny's Thanksgiving diet next.
If you have a friend or a loved one who's winning the battle against drug and alcohol addiction, then you truly know the meaning of Thanksgiving. Share your gratitude.
Good morning. It's time for a healthy breakfast. This time your kids will eat it. A cereal made from wholesome oats. Don't worry, your kids will eat it. Yes, wholesome Quaker Oats. It's Cinnamon Life cereal. Want to know why your kids will eat it? Cinnamon Life has cinnamon deliciousness, lightly sweetened on the inside, toasted oats on the outside. Cinnamon Life tastes so delicious, even grown-up kids will eat it.
Let's play Mikey. I'll be Mikey, and I'll eat all your life cereal. Now!
Cinnamon Life cereal. Unless they're weird, your kids will eat it.
I've got the greatest farm around.
The Play School Weebles Farm keeps toddlers really busy with 12 activities and sounds.
Weebles Farm,
look who's at Wendy's for the holidays. Charlie and the Old Dogs Go to Heaven characters. There's one inside each Wendy's kids meal, or they're just 99 cents when you buy regular fries. Collect all six Old Dogs Go to Heaven characters for your pups now at Wendy's.
Homecoming week continues in a fun-filled all-star Thanksgiving Day parade. Catch all the excitement, plus roll out the good times with Muppet Babies Mayhem. Then get ready for the adventures of Dink the Little Dinosaur.
Gosh!
And see a special holiday treat, the Care Bears movie, too. Join our Thanksgiving Day Fun Fest, only on CBS.
Garfield, I need your help.
That goes without saying.
We have to tell cats out there about new Alpo cat food.
Hey, cat food is for the unimaginative.
Imagine this. Alpo cat food, so full of nutritious proteins, every serving's like a balanced 7-course meal. And the taste.
I'll be the judge of that.
So, Garfield, what would you tell cats about Alpo?
Two.
Demand seconds.
New Alpo cat food, canned and dry varieties, tested and approved.
They instantly turn on. You put that show lead on, and that spark is right there. That's the difference between a good dog and a great dog. These are champions. They deserve the best. And I recommend Pedigree and Pedigree Mealtime.
Pedigree. Recommended by top breeders.
And now there's a new kind of Pedigree. Pedigree Choice Cuts. Tender, juicy, meaty chunks with a sauce dogs can't resist. One look tells you it's choice. One feeding shows you it's irresistible. New Pedigree Choice Cuts. Recommended by top breeders.
This summer at the Magic Kingdom, Mickey's Starland. At Epcot Center, it's Captain EO in 3D. The exciting Body Wars ride. The Fury of the Maelstrom. And now, the Disney MGM Studios theme park with Star Tours. The Indiana Jones Stunt Spectacular. And the Muppets. The Walt Disney World Resort in Florida. What a year to be here.
BK Radio.
You're on the air.
There's a girl I like, but we're so different. Can it work?
You can if you open your mind. New and different combinations are in. Hey, at Burger King, they've even got a new BK double cheeseburger with Swiss cheese and sautéed mushrooms. And believe me, that worked out deliciously.
I love mushrooms. She doesn't.
Then let her eat barbecue bacon. That's why there's a whole line of BK double. To give people what they really want, sometimes you gotta break the rules.
Making life a little sweeter. Making life a little sweeter. Making life a little sweeter.
I can say why.
I can dream a little sweeter. Life a little
Colgate Junior for superstars like you.
Get ready to smile. It's the one, the only, the original Candid Camera. This week, you'll be going on a non-stop comedy shopping spree. It's all new hilarity with host Alan Funk, Friday. Gene Stapleton, Baghdad Cafe, Friday.
The heat wave continues another hot day. Make sure you have plenty of something.
More people choose Nestea for 100% instant iced tea refreshment. Take the Nestea plunge.
Danny, I hope you clean your room.
Since Danny's been working at McDonald's, he's been acting really weird.
Check it out, Mom. He even washed the windows.
At McDonald's, keeping it clean isn't just a job. It's a tradition.
Danny!
Yeah?
Doing a great job.
Hey, I've been practicing, boss.
We teach all our employees it's not clean till it's spotless. Can we help it if some people take their work home with them?
No, no, no. Keep going. That's not it. Look.
Cranberry, Ocean Spray, most refreshing.
Ocean Spray cranberry drinks, they're music to your mouth.
Get ready to laugh.
If I had a girlfriend, I'd ask her to first brush her teeth.
My mom is a Batman.
When Boltalk premieres Friday.
Let's get it on.
Oh yeah, let's get it on. Now, did you guys notice I played a little bit of the, you know, Charlie Brown Thanksgiving in the intro there?
Is
what is with Peppermint Patty inviting herself over? First of all, Chuck, he's going to his grandmother's for Thanksgiving.
And what's with the new voices on that?
Right, and then he's got to cancel and give her a Thanksgiving. It's bullshit.
Well, yeah, Peppermint Patty is an important person, and once Chuck realizes that, I think everything will be much better off.
Jesus, oh, see you next Tuesday, we figured out. Right? Or I guess if it's Thanksgiving, see you next Thursday. That's
there you go.
Too. Thanksgiving, right?
Last Thursday of the month, yeah.
Yep. Yes, sir.
But I just don't know.
Bill, you seem to be breathing into your mic quite a bit.
Am I?
Yeah.
I just ran back from letting my dog outside, and it's freaking freezing outside.
See you soon, you sly devil.
Oh, you sly devil.
Let me adjust my headset properly here.
You know what?
All right.
Of course, we were born in Texas, Bill. And
you were?
I've lived here for most of my life. There was a short period of time where we lived in California. We lived in Redondo Beach until a divorce happened and we moved back here.
That's always fun.
And, you know, then moved back for a little while and then came back here again. I still hear that. Is that you? Are you still breathing on your mic, Bill?
No, not at all. It's nowhere near me.
It's not you, Steven. Your mic's too far away. Okay, so, let's see if I'm doing it. So, when I'm watching Top Chef Texas and the quick fire is this guy explaining that in Texas we eat things like rattlesnake, I realize that, hey, I haven't lived, Steven. Why have I? We live in Texas. Have you ever had rattlesnake there?
No.
Gone out in the backyard and lifted up a rock and caught that rattlesnake. If there was rattlesnakes in my backyard, I'd shit myself.
Wait, the way they're talking, they talked about rattlesnakes, it was like, you know, chicken.
They're like
everyone has rattlesnake.
Everybody has it. Yeah, once
I know.
A week or something.
There's only one place, Campo Verde, where they have rattlesnake on the menu. That's about it that I can think.
It's
but
like,
never yeah. tempted. See, the thing is, when you have limited resources to eat out, it's hard to sometimes experiment and eat something you wouldn't normally eat. You want to eat what you know is good. And usually the only time you ever eat something crazy is when someone invites you and they're paying or something.
Exactly.
And there's a bunch of shit on the table. And they're like, hey, try this. It's frog legs or something. They're like, okay, I'll try this one time because I'm not spending my money on this and well, might hate it.
Yeah, it's not my risk.
Right. So on Top Chef right here, they have the quick fire where they have to make rattlesnake. And then after that, they're doing I can't say this. Quinceañera?
Sweet 16.
Yeah, for the Hispanic.
Well, look at you, Steven.
But the thing is, if you've ever eaten homemade Mexican food, that shit is good.
Yes, it
is. I almost wondered the family that went to this Quinceañera and the Top Chef people are making food. It's like, I thought this shit was going to be homemade, yo. It would have been good. My mom had this friend that her they would invite us over, and her grandmother would make like homemade tortillas and stuff. And she would be like, "Jason, you're not getting enough to eat." And she'd give me all this food, and I'd be stuffing my face just eating all this, and she'd be so proud. Oh, good boy, patting me on the head, just like me stuffing my gob where I couldn't move. And she's like, "Oh, very good." She was so happy that I was eating myself to death. But I still remember that.
It was delicious death.
So it's great. So I'm wondering, like, okay, you have this thing. You're celebrating your Sweet 16, and then you have these chefs, hoity-toity, some of them, making you this food at your thing. And
I'm making a cake of a corn.
Did you see that one cake? I thought it was insulting. You know, she's hot pink.
It looked like it was, like, tagged in a back alley.
Oh, did you guys like the leaning one?
Yes.
It turned out it tasted good, but it was just leaning really bad.
I like how they're carrying it this way because that's the bad side.
Yeah, so no one can see it's leaning. It's like everyone can see it's leaning. Are you kidding me? But here is
like four dowel rods in it holding it together.
The big dramatic part of it, though, is when they go to buy all the food, and the one dude, he buys her cooked shrimp.
Oh, I couldn't even believe that happened.
He goes, yeah, we'll get the cooked shrimp. It's cheaper. Why does he care about budget? That's
yeah, exactly.
Why is he, it's not your money. Did they have a certain, I mean, just.
I think they have to come in under $500.
But nobody was listening. He goes, cooked shrimp, that'll be good. And he goes, oh, okay. You know,
they had $1,500 to spend.
Yeah, well, they had
plenty. Why the hell would they get cooked shrimp?
I know, and she's
and
like.
They came in under five, one group came in under 500. I was like, you still got $1,000.
I would have been pissed, too. It's like, it's a cooking competition. You don't buy cooked food. It's just like, you know, they're like, hey, did you make the tortillas? He's like, no, store-bought. Yeah. And they frown on that. You know, it's like, boo.
What about why whenever it's, they make like, did you make the sausage yourself? That's another thing.
Yeah, they always do that. No, it's store-bought sausage. They're like, boo.
You know how hard it is to make flour tortillas? I mean, come on. Yeah. Flour, water, lard,
yeah,
salt.
A rolling pin.
Yeah, a tortilla press.
My arms are sore, so, you know, I bought some. Bought Mrs. Rosa's, whatever. You know what I've, on a side note, I've been getting that some of that whole wheat tortillas, and those are good. And
they are good.
I was surprised. You know, there is another brand I tried first that I was like, nah, took too much emphasis away. Like, you eat a burrito, and it's like, I taste the tortilla too much. It's like,
yeah.
But I found the right brand that I really like.
Nice.
I can't remember what it's called. But anyway, let's check this out and see how everyone feels about the pre-cooked shrimp.
As I walk into the Top Chef kitchen, I see these little boxes and this huge aquarium with snakes. Oh, I'm beginning to get a little nervous because...
Oh, here's another thing. They have boxes in front of all the chefs, Bill. And they're like, oh, God, when they're open it. Yeah, they're going to have a live rattlesnake
there. Yeah, exactly.
Here's a knife. Everyone kill your rattlesnake. By the way, they're poisonous, so be careful, idiots.
I don't like snakes.
Winning Top Chef requires nerves of steel. And that's exactly what we'll be testing in this quickfire. If you haven't guessed it, for your first quickfire, you'll be cooking up some rattlesnake.
I had this major fear of snakes. Slithering and then coiling and
I'd like you to meet your guest judge. He's the chef and owner of La Gloria Restaurant right here in San Antonio. Please meet Johnny Hernandez.
Hi, chefs. Welcome to Texas.
Hi, chef.
Johnny Hernandez is really well known for cooking wild game meats. He's an amazing chef.
Rattlesnakes are something very traditional in Texas cuisine. Burger, it's something that we use in our company. We do about 700-800 pounds annually. It's a meat that's very delicate. It can take spices, but it's going to have a gentle touch. It will challenge you, so lots of luck.
Chefs, you'll have 1 hour to cook, and your ingredient is in the box in front of you.
Whoa. Oh. This sucks.
Immunity and $5,000 are on the line, so make it count. When time is up, I better see some mother snakes on some mother plates.
Wow.
Your time
they
starts now.
That's the place I've been.
It's not a lie.
Thank God.
The snake is skinned and it's dead.
We're all going to have to be responsible for one thing.
We did not have a clear plan by the time was up in the kitchen.
How much is the shrimp, though? It's $8.99 a pound here.
The cheapest is $9.99 here on shrimp, so you probably want to get it there. Just make sure it's really nice.
Right.
The shrimp will have to be cooked
in paper.
We're going to get the cooked shrimp.
We purchase pre-cooked shrimp, given the price, and making sure we get something that won't be too time-consuming.
Let's find those shrimp and let's look at them because we might need to fry them.
For the shrimp, I want to get a really intense court bouillon on to poach the shrimp. When I open it up, I am truly shocked. I see cooked frozen shrimp.
Why did y'all buy these?
That was all Keith.
Why did we buy cooked shrimp? Why didn't you guys stand up for the freaking shrimp?
We didn't see it.
Oh, my God.
We're not going to be able to use this.
Did y'all not go to the counter with him?
We did, but he's like, I got it.
Oh, God. Who would buy pre-cooked shrimp in a cooking competition? The point is to cook the shrimp. Keith, why did we buy cooked shrimp?
God.
No one described what you were doing.
Are these the same? They're just loose?
All of those are the same shrimp.
It's baffling to me that anyone would assume that a pre-cooked product was acceptable.
We're not going to do this.
We're going to 86 the shrimp. They're terrible.
There were a few chefs around me. As we were shopping, they didn't voice any concern at all.
I'm going to get the cooked shrimp.
If my decision might have been a little shaky, someone should have said, hey, let's go another route.
Slight sabotage.
I saw Lindsay. She over there talking.
My only concern is that I really don't have a dish anymore.
Is it me against the team now? I'm feeling alone.
We should have picked a group leader
feeling
at that
so
point.
Alone. You guys are 8 chefs. Can't figure out how to lead a bunch? You do this every day.
There really wasn't a menu. Tyler was going to do carne asada. Lindsay was going to make the shrimp cocktail.
Shrimp cocktail. I don't remember seeing that.
The shrimp for the shrimp cocktail were pre-cooked.
Who bought pre-cooked shrimp?
I bought the shrimp. I looked at price. I figured about labor. I was just thinking about a lot under pressure.
Were you shopping by yourself?
No, sir. I had a team with me.
I feel for you, but if you had brought back pre-cooked shrimp to me and I was in their position, I'd be yelling at you, too. Sorry.
It was pretty boneheaded for him to do it.
That was just really stupid. I can't say I feel bad for the guy. He should have known better, but also, he's a prison cook.
Right.
I mean, who opened up his own restaurant. He's not classically trained in any way whatsoever. If you've ever had pre-cooked shrimp, you know the quality is lacking.
Right.
It has that taste that they shouldn't have, like that kind of iodine-y taste.
And you know what? Also, the same way, you know, I feel for the guy or whatever, and he seems like a nice guy, but the chick who was all angry about it, you can't let someone else buy your food for you. How stupid is she? You know what I mean?
Well, she was shifting blame. She was just concentrating on her own dish.
Yeah.
Or her, you know, or really, I should say her own ass.
But all of it's like, it's $9.99 a pound there, it's $8.99 a pound there, so we should get it there. It's like, it's a dollar, just get
yeah,
it here.
Really.
It's right in front of me, and, you know, it's just so funny how stupid. Oh, Zell is about to play Skyrim, Bill. It just popped up.
Oh, yeah,
computer.
I just saw that. Yeah, lucky bastard.
I didn't realize Steam would give me those kind of updates.
Yeah, Steam does give updates. You have to turn them off.
Yeah. Okay, Zell, enjoy Skyrim, okay? You've been playing that, haven't you, Bill?
What?
You've been playing Skyrim?
I have been playing the shit out of Skyrim. I can't stop playing it. I'm obsessed with it. At this point, it's like I have to do everything in it before I can finish the main storyline. Like, I want to get to the highest possible level and have the best possible weapons so that when I get to that last story, I can kick ass.
So you know what? Right now, Zell is trying to beat you there. He's trying to get it first.
Well, that's Zell.
You seem to have a lot of free time.
Oh, that guy can go to hell. Okay, let's talk about Work of Art, guys. It was a sad episode of Work of Art.
Very sad episode.
Ooh. They had to do... And you know what? I almost kind of... When I saw it was street art, I was like, dude, Sucklord is going to rule at this. So I was kind of like, what the hell is he doing? I almost thought, do like a giant Banksy rat on one side.
Exactly.
And do a giant wedge. You know how they did it real tiny? Do a gigantic protruding out of the building foam cheese.
I would have done like a gigantic rat and gigantic cheese and then a tiny, tiny maze.
Right.
To try to like be like make the statement of like the rats, we're all too fat to get through the maze now to get the cheese.
That maze thing with the stick sticking out, it was like something that someone with OCD would make or something.
Yeah, it was bad.
He psyched himself out, I think, from the whole competition because he was so worried about doing what they expected him to do or something.
I blame the older judge that told him he never wants to see Star Wars again.
Yeah.
Like, he basically neutered Suck Lord.
Yeah, he did. He didn't know what to do anymore.
Because the judge obviously doesn't get what Suck Lord's art is about in turning this like retro consumerism and toys on its head, like making a sort of a loving joke out of it.
Right. And then the I mean, I have nothing against the Asian gay man and Dusty.
He's just strange and he's not incredibly talented. But I don't get why they like him.
The thing they came up with where they're two profiles talking to each other, I thought was so lame, wasn't it?
It was just pretentious.
For street art, it's like...
It's just, they had an idea and they went with it, it's so
book,
I guess...
It's a
yeah, and then they got
contest.
All the, like, the street people like, oh, it's so true. It really does change you.
It's like...
Like, are you kidding me?
So it's
I mean,
like...
That could have been just a regular gallery this piece. It didn't need to be on a street.
I figured out how you stay on the show. Just do something that makes you feel something when you look at it.
Yeah.
They hate when it's just nothing. It's blah when you look at it. And the maze did look like that. It was kind of like... But so the other chick...
Well, the other one was worse.
Lola and her dick cats or whatever.
Yeah.
Tigers with dicks.
Dick cats.
What the hell were they doing? It's like the worst idea.
It's dick cats. Da, 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 da,
it's like it's a new cartoon, everybody. Dick cats.
It's like looking inside an apartment building at what's really going on in there.
Yeah, it's dick cats.
I almost think that it would have been more interesting if it was just... To see what's inside the building without all the weird tape. And what was with
Dick
them
cats?
Being such petty assholes? Like
yeah, like, or you could tag ours or tag anyone else's.
Yeah, that's tacky. You know, it's like their art and they haven't shown it yet.
Well, that Lola girl needs slapped.
Yeah.
Like, just that attitude she has.
I'm going to get medieval on you.
Yeah, and, like, she's justifying it by saying, I'm just trying to be, you know, in the vein of street art,
it's
you
like,
know?
I'm pretty sure other street artists don't
ruin other street artists'
over
art.
Other street artists. It's tacky.
Yeah, oh, but you know what? I think Shepard Fairey put a Obey poster up. I'm going to go up there and put Not Obey on it.
I'm going to go put a sticker or decal on it or something.
Oh, look, it's a Space Invader tile. I'm going to, you know,
they were totally
spray paint over
catty
it.
Catty about it.
Yeah, they were
kind of making fun of the pulling uproots one, the other girls. I thought it was interesting to look at.
It was very interesting to look at, but it didn't... they pointed out the one thing, like the roots were kind of like dripping and bleeding. I thought that was cool. I don't necessarily think they meant for that to happen.
All it has to do, honestly, if it catches your eye and you look at it, then they've done their job. The Dusty and the other guy... I don't know. I just look at it and it looks like a pile of shit.
It looked like an advertisement for the Benetton.
Yeah.
Every one of his has been that minimalistic kind of approach.
It's not art to me. I don't know. It's art to somebody. their description of art is it's got to make you feel something. Either it revolts you or it makes you feel like, wow, this is incredible or something. It's got to do something. So I get that, but it's just unfortunate that what happened to Suck Lord, and let's go ahead and check this out.
Well, for the Suck Lord to respect the guest judge so much, like know his work, and then to see what that guest judge's street art was like, and then to do this maze, it was just, what were you thinking?
Yeah. And he's just got all into the sticks sticking out of it, and it was just...
Well, I think he was trying to salvage it.
Make it something interesting.
Yeah.
Put some people stuck in the maze or something.
Well, if
it
was supposed to be like a kind of a map of the town, why didn't they actually do a map and make it a maze?
Yeah.
You know,
he should have done a self-portrait or something and saying something on the building. I don't know. Anything.
Anything other than what it was.
Well, let's check this out.
Sarah and Suck Lord, let's start with you.
We both build a lot of things, so we wanted this to work both as an image, but actually changed as the viewer moved around them in the space.
I didn't like your piece of street art because it seemed conventional. It says, I am street art. Sleep as you walk past me.
I apologize for that, sir.
I was expecting something subversive from Suck Lord in this mix. This feels like a sanctioned drawing that was commissioned by someone who likes to drink, you know, a lot of white wine. It just falls flat against the wall.
I am evidently white wine.
It's not because she took over and I stepped away. I mean, I actively participated.
No, but I want to know who came up with what.
It was honestly like very mutual. We were inspired by the brick and that kind of pattern, and then, you know, he brought up this kind of dimensional structure.
So it was your idea to have the pieces jutting out.
Right.
No, at first I looked at it. I thought it was really interesting with the three-dimensional additions to it, but that doesn't really rattle my cage.
Right. I mean, I've had a lot of chances, and I still haven't hit it, but, you know, I mean,
I don't see you taking the leap. I see you stepping back.
Okay, fair enough. I mean, I maybe did step back a little bit from what I normally did, but I don't want to put the blame on Sarah and say, like, this was her piece and I took a back seat. I mean, I consciously chose
to do this. Does it sound like I'm blaming Sarah?
Thank you very much.
Sarah, Suck Lord, your piece was impersonal and generic. Suck Lord, this is street art. You could have taken it to a whole nother level and blown us away. Instead, you retreated. Sarah, your ideas stood out and were weak.
Suck Lord, your work of art didn't work for us. It's time for you to go.
If you strike me down, I shall become more powerful than you can possibly imagine. Later, babe. This was the only challenge that I had no idea who was going to lose. And now I know why. Because it was me. I'm out.
Oh.
The Force was not with him tonight.
Thank you, sir. I put my feelings into this. I put my effort into this. And it wasn't easy. I opened myself up. I grew. I made some friends. And then the door closed. And that's the end of the story. Don't cry for me, Argentina. I'll be fine. The inside is always going to be soft and vulnerable, but the armor plating is going to get a little bit more diesel.
Your mom goes to college.
You know, I put a link to his website. Were you checking that out, Bill?
I was. I don't have the money right now with the Christmas gifts and everything, but I am going to buy one of his pieces of art that he has up there, maybe one of his action figures.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
I was looking. I think maybe I'll buy Ass Master.
You can tell by his art that he didn't get to do anything that he does on the show.
No. Yeah.
Just kind of like.
And he's also involved in a lot of like music. I think he works with like kind of like electronic beats and stuff like that. So he's got a lot of stuff going on. It's cool.
He's an interesting fellow.
He is.
I have no clue who is going to go on in this thing.
At this point, I really don't care.
The Asian guy?
The women are all catty, and the Asian guy just does the same goofy shit over and over again. And
that Sarah Kay chick, because she seems pretty cool.
Which one is that?
The one that teamed up with Suck Lord on this episode.
Oh, yeah. She's not bad.
She seemed like a nice person.
Yeah.
But I have no idea what her art is like.
Yeah, I have no idea. I don't remember a single thing she's done.
You know, the show.
Asian guy's just, he keeps doing whatever the judges like.
Yeah. He knows how to just get something to get a reaction out of them. But the finale, that's the interesting part when they do the whole show. When they have
I would have loved to have seen what Suck Lord came up over 6 months.
Yeah, that would have been cool. All right, let's talk about Fringe. Fringe. Is, you know, we got Peter back and all that, and now we have the time displacement going on. And I thought it was really cool that Jimmy James is on this episode.
Yep.
I was like, hey, Jimmy James!
I got excited.
And, you know, it was the
There was no small judo men, though.
His wife was a quantum physics genius that got Alzheimer's. It kind of reminded me a little bit of the Peter Weller episode where he's trying to go back in time to be with his love right at the moment she dies. Great. That's my favorite episode, White Tulip.
White Tulip,
but this had more to do with him just trying to get her back to solve the equation. And all these weird time things were going on.
So he could create a time bubble forever.
Right.
To keep her from getting the Alzheimer's.
Yeah. Or just keeping her the way she was.
He wanted her to complete the sequence or the equation so that they could stop that point in time.
Right.
Right. And what's interesting is he's not a bad guy. He doesn't even know that there are repercussions outside his home.
No, he's clueless.
Yeah, he's just obsessed with her and having her back. But the stuff that I did like is Walter being a dick to Peter, you know, because he didn't want to have anything to do with him.
Tell him.
I thought was it. That was great. I have a little clip here of Walter, and that's what we love about the show, Walter.
The subject can lower the arms.
You can call me Peter.
Subject does not have an elevated radiation level. Nor does it have any trace chemical signatures. Subject appears to be solid, not phasing in and out of existence. You can inform Agent Broyles that I have completed the examination, and I conclude that this subject is not the cause of the time-related phenomenon.
Walter, you couldn't possibly know that so quickly. If I was erased from this timeline and then thrown back into it, it stands to reason those two things could be related.
I'll be in my bedroom working on the problem. I do not wish to be disturbed.
Maybe we should just go back to the site and get some more reading.
Agent Dunham, I was going to make a bologna sandwich. Would you care for one?
No, but thank you, Walter. I'm working on the case with Peter. We could really use you on this one.
I'd be happy to join you. As soon as my lab is available to me again. My copy of Carol's Cosmology.
I was just looking for that.
Walter.
It's okay. Just let him go.
If we could find some kind of pattern, maybe we could locate the source.
Yeah, but 2 points isn't really very much to go on.
How about 4? We've just got 2 new reports. A perfect circle of trees suddenly appeared in a parking garage in Chestnut Hill. Shortly after, an open pit filled with rotting garbage suddenly appeared in the 8th hole of the Franklin Park golf course. The course was built on top of the landfill.
Let me guess, 4 years ago.
Yeah, but look at it. It's still completely random to my eyes. There's no way to...
I am ready to present a theory. Snails. Nautilus shells. Ram's horns. These all have one thing in common. Fibonacci's golden spiral.
I'll be damned, Walter. That's it.
I believe the source of these time slips must be located in the center of the spiral. You want to search a 3-square-mile area in the vicinity of Brookline.
I like the bit where the one generic agent crossed through the thing and he just goes poof.
Yeah, he like poofed into blackness.
That was pretty
cool. That was cool.
There's one interesting thing that Peter was talking about, Olivia. She was telling him that she had dreams about him, and Walter saw him, and he saw him around, and he was like, I have no knowledge of that. That's interesting. But also she's talking about, you care about me, or her, whoever she is in another life, she means something. I'll get you back to that place or whatever. Is he in some kind of splinter line or something? I don't know.
Yeah, I think that's what he was trying to say, that he's in... some sort of a different timeline, maybe?
Right.
Because no one remembers him? Because
I do know this. Okay, Fringe has... The opening credits always tell us clues about something, right? The opening credits this whole season have been different than they have before.
Yeah.
Like, remember, they're the regular kind, and then there's the red kind for over there. Now they're kind of this hue, like this golden hue or something.
Yeah.
Where he's in a totally different universe that he maybe accidentally created when he did something with Machine. So I want to know where this is going, right?
Yeah, hopefully we'll have something tonight.
Because I'm still entertained by the stuff, and I like seeing Steven Root. And,
that's when the Walter crossed over.
Screw the small judo man.
He jumped in the pond instead.
Right, right. Yeah, we know that. He did the thing where he saved the boy from the other side, but the boy drowned.
Right.
So he's got Walter and it's still pissed off at him and all that stuff. So, but it's a little bit different.
Right.
Seen the Observer.
That would have to be a different timeline.
Right. So I'm just, here's what I'm saying. If you have this season of Peter over there and Olivia and Walter don't know him and you're creating a new relationship with them, maybe Walter will, he was like, he's rather smart. So, we're talking about Peter and Olivia, she might get closer to him. They even introduce him to a new house. Like, this is your house. And he goes, wow, deja vu. I've been here before. You set all that up. Is Peter ever going to go back in the right timeline? And then all the relationship you create this season with them, if he goes back to just knowing them, hey, Peter's back, what the hell?
Yeah. Well, does that timeline even exist anymore?
I don't know. So I'm wondering, maybe they'll give us clues on it. Because I'm interested in what the shapeshifter's doing and what... I want to know this. The Observer...
Like, where did the Observers go?
The Observer didn't do his job like he was supposed to. He decided not to and let Peter come back, right? He didn't kill him or destroy him when he should have. So
something's got to go on with the Observer.
So what if...
He's got to get fired from his job.
Observer, you are fired!
Well, if it's created another universe, then, maybe the Observers haven't found it yet.
Right.
And then they
No, the Observer's been there, though, this season.
Yeah.
They've showed him there.
They showed him standing outside the place.
Because remember the beginning of the season, he's like, Peter has been around. Like, he still traces of him. You must get rid of him. And so he goes to do it, and he's about to, and he's like, no, I'm not going to. I like that kid, or whatever. So I don't know. So they got to just give us more. We're not going to be able to figure anything out, right? They just got to tell us.
Nothing yet. I'm like even afraid to comment on things because I'm just so confused by it all.
Mm-hmm.
Like, were they trying to reboot the series in a way that people will be able to get involved in it? Or are they going to reestablish the timeline? Are they going to try to create a new timeline?
The problem with rebooting it is if someone started watching the season, they'd be confused as hell. It wouldn't help. But I'm thinking that maybe they had a plan of there's two universes that they've dealing with. Maybe they wanted to introduce another one. I don't know. But they've already established that Olivia and Folivia know each other. They can go to the place and meet each other and talk.
This third universe isn't having quote-unquote fringe events like the other two are.
They have experienced them because they have the Fringe Division.
Well, they haven't. Well, because
it's just different.
It's not like the world their universe is not collapsing. It's
so confusing. Yeah. But we'll just get to know more. But let's talk about The Walking Dead, Bill.
Oh boy,
The Walking Dead.
Let's try not to spoil too much for.
Well, Bill, come on.
For our fans,
we did spoil some things, didn't we? I mean,
I don't know if I'd see. That's what's. I guess because they're not a spoiler to me,
right? But
yeah, so I apologize. But
yeah, I hate spoilers, and I hate when things are spoiled for me. In fact, something was spoiled for me on The Walking Dead a couple of weeks ago, and I forgave the person who did it. It's okay. I'll get over it. It's no big deal. I knew. I read that Shane kills Otis before I watched the episode. So I was like, oh,
really?
Damn
I didn't know that.
Why did I see that? And the David, he apologized to me. And I was like, no big deal. It happens sometimes. In the age of Facebook and Twitter, it's hard not to get spoiled by things. In fact, I try to, not look at times. Sometimes it sneaks up on you, right? So, I mean, Even the person, Genevieve, she said that we spoiled the thing about the barn. I'm sorry. We were kind of, I was kind of like, in the comic, I knew that happened, so I was wondering if it was. And it seemed like they were hinting to us about the barn, right? We didn't know
you
for sure.
Stay away from
we didn't know for, but I was thinking it's a good part of the comic that I was hoping that would happen. Because it's good, a good something that happened.
It's good drama. What it's interesting.
And what I mean by good is that it's good in the fact that it's like, holy shit kind of moment, you know? And so I'm not going to purposely try to spoil anything, Bill. And I don't think you will either.
No, I'm gonna try to watch what I say.
The problem being that we've read pretty far into the comic that's way past the Herschel farm. We don't know how much of it they're going to copy because it's vastly different.
It's really
way different.
Just the farm has pretty much it.
Yeah, it's about the only similar thing. The whole character of Otis, completely different. There's no high school they go to or anything. No. Shane is already dead long before they
There
got
was
him.
No Wells thing.
Yeah, and like I was saying, there's no Daryl character at all in the comic.
Yeah. And no T-Dog.
No T-Dog, yeah. No Chupacabra talk in there.
Yeah.
I have a clip here. I want to play this clip first, and then we'll talk more about the episode, I think. Oh, well, no. Wait. I kind of mixed two together, so I want to talk about this. Was I right about Michael Rooker? Huh? He's not back. He's just a...
Yeah. Yep.
I thought it was funny that... One thing that I did think is funny, every once in a while I chuckle at little things on the show or whatever. Okay. I hated the conversation between Shane and Rick in the woods where they're just kind of bickering about whether they should call it. None of that interests me at all. Don't care about any of that conversation that Shane and Rick are having in the woods. Do you guys care?
The sex talk?
No.
No, not the sex talk. That's Glenn and Dale. No, Rick and Shane, he's like, we need to call off the search. We're just endangering people every day looking for the stupid girl. And Rick's like, that's not true. We need to look for this girl. She's one of our people. It just goes on forever. Who cares? I was more interested in what Daryl was doing. He's riding on the horse, Nelly, which stands for Nervous Nelly.
Nervous
but he
Nelly.
Didn't know that. But he
would have known that if he would have asked first.
He sees a doll and he falls off the horse because of a rattlesnake that he should have cooked later.
Mm-hmm. But it's delicious
because they're delicious in Texas.
Everybody in Texas eats them.
We eat those.
We
and
all have horses.
One thing about the arrow in his side, I wasn't sure. Did he stick the arrow in his side or did it?
I think he fell off.
When he was falling, the arrow came free from his.
It was not established well, I thought. I was
no, it wasn't.
By it. I was like, did he stick that, make a tourniquet with the arrow? I was thinking that. I don't know. But anyway, he falls down and he's trying to get out, and that's when Merle appears to him, right?
Merle!
And what I love about the whole scene is I kind of wondered, like, I knew Merle wasn't there. He was hallucinating. But I wondered if there was someone there that he was seeing in place of him.
Yeah.
And because he's getting pushed a little and moved a little, like he pats him or whatever. And I love that moment where he opens his eyes and the zombie's gnawing on his boot.
I went, no.
He's like, rah, rah, rah.
I totally like, pulled a boof on that one.
And he's really lucky that he got the boot, wasn't he?
Yeah.
And... I was like, that was good because it scared the shit out of me. Like, he's right there on you, you know. If he would have just been started gnawing on his leg, that would have been horrific. Like, you're just screwed because he's gnawing on your leg while you're passed out. And then he had to fumble for the arrow and shot the other one in the head. That stuff was all cool and everything.
Good tension-filled moments.
And, you know, there's the moment later on. One thing, we've already established that Andrea drives us crazy.
I can't stand her.
She's decided now she's got a rifle and she's going to take care of herself. And then she sees a walker in the distance. And let me just play the scene. The first part of the Chupacabra bit and then this scene. But all I know is the writers, they want us to hate her.
They've achieved it.
The only interesting character on the show, let's kill him off with the irritating girl, huh?
Oh, whoever slept in that cover was no bigger than yay high.
Good lead.
Maybe we'll pick up our trail again.
Well, maybe about it. I'm going to borrow a horse. Head up to this ridge right here. Get a bird's eye view of the whole grid. She's up there. I'll spot her.
Good idea. Maybe you'll see your chupacabra up there, too. Chupacabra?
Well, you never heard this? The first night in camp, Daryl tells us that the whole thing reminds him of the time when he went squirrel hunting and he saw a chupacabra.
What are you braying at, jackass?
So you believe in a blood-sucking dog?
You believe dead people walking around?
Walker! Walker!
Texas.
Just the one?
Stranger.
I bet I can nail it from here.
No, no, Andrea, put the gun down. You best let us handle this.
Shane, hold up. Herschel wants to deal with walkers.
What for, man? We got it covered.
Hey.
Andrea,
you
don't
have a relationship.
Is that Daryl? It's the third time you pointed that thing on my head.
Lively,
you gonna pull the trigger or what?
No!
I love how it showed her grin on her face. Like she's
yeah, like, oh, I did something good.
Knock it off, damn it.
Probably a chupacabra bite.
Yeah.
No,
so they're going to kill off the one character we like by the idiot shooting at it from a distance. And it was funny. You know, I watched that show, The Talking Dead, afterwards, the talk show. And that guy said one funny thing. He goes, in the time of zombies, you can't walk like that. You got to walk like you're leading a parade, like, da, 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 da. Hey, guys, I'm back. You know, don't, like, be limping around from a distance. That's the same thing that happened to Bill Murray.
I'm surprised nobody
right?
on that show has brought up how irritating Andrea is.
Yeah, they don't really dissect it like that.
No, they give them 30 minutes, and they have a couple talking heads there.
Just to talk about the episode and things that were fun or whatever.
Yeah, very briefly.
They're not delivering critical analysis of it because AMC is paying them just to talk up the show.
And they have one or two, normally one phone call.
Right. If someone called, it's like, why are the zombie? You notice all the phone calls are like, now, okay, why wouldn't the zombie like see this or do this? Because it's all logical questions and there's no answer. You just do a joke like, you know, about it. Like, did Daryl get bit right there? No, I don't think he did. He's fine. But the one thing that about all that Daryl thing is he imagined his brother telling him that they just think he's, you know, he's just white trash. He's redneck. The one part that I thought was funny is that he made an ear necklace. And as they're helping him back and they're like, dude, just got an ear necklace. And Rick rips it off real quick and puts it away. So,
yeah, let's Herschel, not tell them about that.
Yeah, Herschel doesn't need to see the ear necklace. Right? And then they do the reveal. You know, they had the dinner, and Glenn ruins it. He goes, does anyone know how to play guitar? Otis knew how to play. And then you show Shane, like, oh, shit.
He played real good.
Oh, that's the guy I shot and left him to be eating my zombies. Okay. And he's going to do it with Maggie, and he says, how about the barn? And then we get the reveal of the barn. But I got to say, if I walked in there in the dark and I shined the flashlight, saw them, knowing my luck, I would have been, falling forward.
Well, how did he not smell it whenever he got near it?
Well,
why, you know?
Remember, he did, when he walked up there, he did go, oh, dude, what the?
Well, then why automatically, you know, he's still like, oh, I'm going to get up there and lay my bed down so I can have sex
laid.
In this death-smelling
no,
house
he's
going to
get laid, and he's thinking, hey, smells not that bad.
it's a manure. It's a dead animal.
No, death and manure are completely different smells.
Well, I'm just saying, he's saying it's a dead animal. It's manure.
Or, you know,
it's
he might even think, if he didn't think there was walkers in there, maybe there's a pile of bodies in there or something. But curiosity, luckily he didn't go through the bottom. Remember, he's trying to open the front door. He's like, ah, damn, locks. But
yeah.
In the comic, this is no spoiler, we knew that he had it filled with his kinfolk or zombies. And they established earlier with a conversation with Rick, he thinks there's going to be a cure. I don't know what the hell Herschel's smoking to think that even if they had a cure, they're still dead. If they shot them, they would just die, right? I mean,
yeah.
What the hell is this guy thinking?
They're already dead.
It didn't
what
make
is...
any sense in the comics either. But I remember in the Dawn of the Dead, remember at the beginning of Dawn of the Dead, they find that house where they have all the zombies in the basement? The guy's like, what were they keeping them for? Like, those people were just shoving the...
Yeah.
They were putting all the undead in their basement, just keeping them down there. They never explained it, and it was kind of creepy how it's not explained.
Mm-hmm.
But they might have been thinking the same thing, because wasn't the... Was she a nurse or something? I can't remember, just briefly... I guess I need to see the movie again, but...
Yeah, I can't remember.
There's something weird about them keeping all of them, like, oh, let's just store another one down there, and we can't kill them. They might find a cure or something. It's like, okay. I like the other way better, just smashing him in the head. Oh, and that was a brutal zombie kill too, wasn't it? When he just stabs it in the head with a stick when Daryl did that.
Oh, yeah.
That was nice. But I still, I mean, at least Andrea was keeping watch because I wonder why they're not this whole time.
Well, they what cracked me up is that before that, didn't they tell her, no, don't go up there?
Yeah, don't. Put that gun away. No, we're going to handle this.
No, I'm gonna go up there. I'm going to shoot through you guys.
But one interesting thing is I saw Scenes to Next Week, and it looks interesting.
All right, I haven't seen I don't think I saw the Scenes to Next Week.
I'm scared about spoilers, so I'm not even going to tell you what I saw. It's nothing really. It looks like Shane. Remember how he hinted, here he goes, I'm certified gun trainer. Anyone wants to learn? It looks like he's going to do some of that.
Oh, he's going to do some training?
But also, I think, I know in the comics they practice shooting too, but again, the sound attracts walkers, doesn't it?
Right. Yeah, exactly.
But I don't know. Like, if people are shooting in the country now, I couldn't hear it from here. I know they don't have superhuman hearing, but.
Well, I know yesterday I was getting annoyed because some asshole was out in the woods shooting. He must have been shooting at deer, or he was just an awful shot. But you can hear the report for quite a distance.
And another, like, remember when that church bell kept going off earlier episodes?
Yeah.
They're pretty close to that farm. Did they on the farm ever hear that? It seems like they would have.
You would think they would have.
And couldn't they go back and live in that church if they wanted to stay somewhere? That place didn't seem. They killed the couple walkers that were in there.
Drag them out. Get rid of them.
I don't know. But they finally established that they have a generator because he was fueling it up.
Yeah.
They explained that because people were driving people crazy. How they have power, damn it.
Well, I mean, they obviously had a generator, but also how loud that thing is.
And generators are loud. So
yeah. So how is that not... I don't know.
I don't know what I'm thinking. Like, I would say, okay, phone book, let's find the closest place that has solar panels. Let's go
raid the solar panels.
I've seen the colony. All we need is some solar panels. We got some power out here. Get some...
An alternator.
Let's go get a couple of mobile homes or something.
Yeah.
Multiple RVs. You know, they've probably got, like, just a lot somewhere. We could all live there in a nice little shanty town.
I wonder how many, like, in an apocalypse, I would totally go along with that. I would look for solar panels. I would do all that, like, the colony type of stuff. The silent power is the best.
Yeah, silent power.
Or develop a couple windmills.
And they have trees everywhere. You could build, like, some kind of, like, lookout towers or treehouse or something.
I would totally build a treehouse. Zombies ain't going to climb.
Yeah.
Unless they're zombie birds.
They can't get up ladders. You know what? I always laugh at that part in the Dawn of the Dead. You know, Bill, at the end when they go on the roof where the... there's a step ladder, and the zombies start walking up the step ladder and they get on the roof. I'm always like, what? They're going. They're climbing up ladders.
It's muscle memory.
It's hilarious. I want to see that. I want some... Because they already established in season one where one picked up a rock and started banging on the window, you know?
Yeah.
I want to see where it's like, ladder. Oh, yeah, I remember these.
Smart zombies.
Yeah.
Well, I watched Zombie Apocalypse.
On sci-fi?
Sci-fi.
Is that the one with Ving Rhames?
Yes.
How was it, Steven?
Oh, it was terrible.
Wait, wasn't Ving Rhames in Dawn of the Dead?
Yeah, he was also in... they did a Day of the Dead remake.
No, they didn't.
And he was in it with Mina Suvari.
Yeah.
Oh, man, that was...
Poor Mina Suvari.
At the end, they go to the little dock, and they're waiting for the boat to come. It says it comes every Wednesday at noon. And they're going... They look around, they see blood, and people have been dragged off. They're going, well, zombies don't drag people. What's this? And a giant zombie... little tiger jumps up.
A tiger?
Wait, no, a zombie tiger?
That's awesome.
Wouldn't you just be scared of a tiger itself? Why does it have to be a zombie tiger?
Was it in the water too? It was like an aqua tiger.
It was on the dock. It was hiding. It was hiding. You know, and it dragged people off and up and hides and eats it somewhere else.
Zombie tiger.
And they
it could have even been a regular tiger because it's hungry.
Yeah.
Why a zombie tiger? The zombie tiger should be eating other tigers if it goes. You know, he's infecting other tigers.
No, we've seen zombie dogs in the Resident Evil series,
right.
There's, like, in the George Romero world, Walking Dead world, are animals susceptible to the zombie virus?
No, I've never seen that.
Okay, I didn't think
it's
so.
It's only humans.
And that's kind of what they were like.
I believe even an animal could get bit, and if he gets away, he won't be infected or anything. It just harms humans.
But there wound up being two zombie tigers.
Well, hopefully they took those tigers out because zombie tigers.
I don't want any spoilers of what happened with the zombie.
Yeah.
But they had the fast.
That's a lion.
Do you guys remember when Ving Rhames was badass? You know, he was in Pulp Fiction. Why was he in a zombie apocalypse?
These look like saber-toothed tiger ones because they were gigantic.
And it was horrible CGI, right? Yeah. Okay. Yeah, we got to see that. Got to see that, Bill.
Yeah, I'm putting that on my DVR right now.
Well, I texted Jason because it was on, and I was like, zombie apocalypse is on.
You know what's funny about The Walking Dead?
They even use that term in the movie.
When I see comments about The Walking Dead, it's always, can they find the friggin' girl already? People are so sick of
this. Yeah, I don't care about Sophia at this point.
Sophia! I think it'd be cool if she comes in, a helicopter flies over and she's like, hi guys! And they just fly away. And she's like, wow.
And then it explodes.
No, Sophia! A little teddy bear falls down.
Then Jeffrey Dean Morgan picks it up.
So we know that the tension that's going to happen here is that Herschel just wants him to get the hell off his farm.
Yeah.
And the guy, they introduced a new guy, 17-year-old kid. He'll be dead soon. You know he will.
17-year-old. Oh, okay,
like,
yeah.
I'll help you guys. Yeah, give me a rifle or something. And then later Herschel says, I didn't want him to help you guys. All right,
you
Bill.
You control your people, I control mine.
That was excellent, Steven.
All right, Bill, you want to do some news?
Let's do it.
Let's do it! Oh, we got good news and bad news, huh?
Well, normally that's the news.
Let's get it on.
Oh, okay. All right, this story is from our resident feedback master, Swiley.
But he bailed.
No, he didn't bail. He's still here. Tennessee man is facing a domestic assault charge after he allegedly struck his mother with a ham during an argument Tuesday afternoon in their home.
What?
A ham? Emmanuel Cordell Kennedy, 37, was collared after his mother told cops she hit him in the back with the thrown ham as she was walking down the hall.
Oh, my God.
So he tossed this thing at her. What I want to know is if it was like a country ham, a half a ham. Was it the butt end or the shank end? I want to know details about this ham.
Totally.
What brand was it? Was it Smithfield? In an interview with police, Kennedy claimed that he did not intend to hit his mother, 55-year-old Brenda King.
Pink kid, sucker.
King apparently was not injured by the pink missile.
What?
That's terrible.
That's kind of obscene sounding. Pink missile.
The size of which was not detailed by investigators. Kennedy is being held without bond in the Obion County Jail. He's scheduled to be arraigned this week.
You feminist pig.
If he was throwing the pork, why, you know, if you're throwing a ham at someone, you're in anyone's direction, you're meaning to hit them. I don't know what he was thinking.
Did he go, when pigs fly?
This ham's for you!
No!
Pakistan's telecommunications agency has issued a list of words it considers obscene or offensive, telling mobile phone companies to block text messages that contain them. They've deemed 586 Urdu words and 100... I'm sorry, 1,109 English words offensive or pornographic.
Shit, piss, suck a mother for in tits.
At them. That's part of them. Some expletives are sexual words, while others are medical terms, but some entries have left many scratching their heads. Including in the list are intercourse, condom, breast, period.
Let's get it on.
Hostage.
Oh.
Flatulence. Oh. Monkey crotch.
Well, my mistake.
Wu-Tang.
Huh?
I guess they're not a fan of the Wu-Tang.
Ghostface killer.
Yeah. Big baby Jesus.
He's such a momo.
And, of course, Jesus Christ.
Oh, can't say that, huh?
No. There are more words on the published list, which was leaked on Scribd.com.
Jesus!
I don't quite understand it. A spokesman for the Pakistani Telecommunication Authority...
Jesus Christ!
says blocking the text is meant to control spamming.
What's so, this?
I guess you can, you know, you can expect spam messages with monkey crotch in them. or Jesus Christ. The transmission of harmful, fraudulent, misleading, illegal, or unsolicited messages in bulk to any person without express permission is not allowed in Pakistan.
What is this for?
Mobile telephone companies in Pakistan have confirmed to BBC News that they've received a memo and the dictionary of words not allowed. So this is interesting. Nothing like a little nanny state control from Pakistan. Pakistanis have been reacting to the news on Twitter, sometimes wondering what the words and expressions mean. So they're like, they don't even understand what the hell these words mean. What's monkey crotch? No idea what that means. Who's crotch a monkey? All right, in Stockton, California, Lincoln High School teacher Heidi Coslin is a designer of a chesty T-shirt that says "I Heart Teachers."
Ooh.
But the Lincoln Unified School District is not feeling the love.
Oh.
It's not just the shirt that has 35-year-old teacher on administrative leave. She's also being investigated for running several porn sites off her school-issued laptop.
Well, I can't figure out just two.
The names of those websites are none too subtle, including myslutteyteacher.com. The website said, "Have you ever dreamed about your teacher's breasts before?
Sports, well, pornography, stuff like that.
Well, now you can see them."
Oh, okay.
All right.
And click.
Lincoln High senior Marcos Cruz said, "I think that's kind of disgusting." No, you don't.
It's porn, isn't it?
On another site, Ranhen Entertainment. The inspiration for special education teachers' alleged porn empire is revealed. Oh, so she was a special education teacher.
Hmm? That's called a male pornographic fantasy.
It says, Caslin found the company after her male students spent most of the period staring at her boobs. When the news broke at the Stockton campus this morning, it spread faster than a Facebook status update. Lincoln High students are worried about the reputation of the school they love. Oh, yeah, sure they are.
Have you ever looked at pornography?
Yes. Oh.
Oh, yes. Oh. What if people think of Lincoln High and think that's the porn school?
Oh, I'm going there, man.
Yeah, no shit.
Transfer.
They like got hot teachers that want to show their titties.
Right, Steven? High five.
High five.
Caslin has been on leave for a month while the school district investigates. Her case is expected to be taken up to December school board meeting. I have a feeling she's not going to be working there anymore. a Georgia woman whose criminal investigators has spent years administering illegal silicone buttocks and hip injections to female clients, including strippers nationwide, was arrested last month by federal agents.
It's your butt on the crapper with this one, mate, not mine.
Here's what shocks me. Kimberly Smedley, 45, was busted at a Washington, D.C. hotel on October 11th, 6 months after FDA agents opened a criminal investigation. She had been doing these injections in hotel rooms.
Her buttocks?
Yeah, so, hey, people just show up and be like, can you inject some silicone in my butt? I want my butt bigger. Oh, come to my hotel room. At the time of Smedley's arrest, federal investigators discovered 3 18-gauge medical needles in one of her handbags. They also found a new text message, apparently from a D.C. woman, stated, want to make me an appointment for my aunt and want my hips done.
Whoa.
The FDA probe was opened after a Baltimore exotic dancer was hospitalized in March following the last of 4 silicone treatments. The stripper, who had first received silicone injections in her buttocks and then her hips, told investigators that she had heard through word of mouth from other dancers of a woman who administered the injections so that customers could have larger, fuller buttocks.
It's baffling to me.
Medical silicone for the injections, which was stored in an unmarked water jug with a spigot.
Turkey cacciatore.
I don't think it's healthy to have medical silicone directly injected into your ass or hips.
I guess some people just aren't happy with their asses. I can't see mine personally. It doesn't bother me that much.
Yeah, I mean, really.
No question in my mind.
That can't look good. It just can't. I just don't get it.
It's irrelevant.
They do the dumbest things. They honestly just do the dumbest things. An amateur cameraman in Britain has captured an insane moment of a drunk zoo visitor jumping into a monkey enclosure to play with him. And the guy ends up with severe bite marks. After the animals, I guess, didn't want to play, they decided to attack.
What? Well, that's insane!
I don't even know how to say this guy's name. Joa.
Draw the line on the insanity.
Oh, this dude, Dos Santos is his last name. So
Dos Equis.
He's a mechanic in Brazil. He admitted that he had been drinking alcohol when he went to the zoo on Sunday, thinking it would be fun to join the zoo's colony of monkeys. He climbed over a fence, swam across the dividing pool to get closer. Amused tourists
gang
look on.
By a gaggle of silverback apes.
Pretty close. Many kept their cameras trained on Mr. Dos Santos and laughed. A group of long-limbed primates gathered at the water's edge and in one particular reached out for Dos Santos in a bid to grab
monkey
a hold of
ass.
Him, thinking the monkeys were inviting him to join them.
Oh, come on over here.
Come on up, buddy.
What are you doing, monkey?
Mr. Dos Santos moved close enough for them to grab hold of his arm.
Oh, shit.
And almost immediately, one of the monkeys sank its sharp teeth into Mr. Dos Santos' wrists.
Hey, would you like to buy a monkey?
While another bit his elbow and shoulder.
Holy shit. So he's getting eaten alive by monkeys.
He's zombie monkeys.
Oh, man. Zombie monkeys.
Good news and bad news.
Good news is, cool zombie monkeys. Bad news, they're eating you.
Yeah. He realized the monkeys were not in a playful mood. Now in excruciating pain, he waded back through the...
You know what he's thinking? Why did I go over to the monkeys?
Yeah. And waded back through the water to horrified onlookers, was dragged out of the water and over the enclosure fence.
Everyone's like, that dude is effed.
What are you doing?
Take the soap remote.
All right, I'm awake.
He was eventually taken to the hospital where he was treated for severe bites to his right arm and shoulder and gave sheepish interviews to the local media. It's not known whether he'll face criminal charges.
Meh.
Yeah, like, What were you thinking? Meh!
Probably a chupacabra bite.
Yeah.
That's what I thought.
And lastly, in Orlando, this guy's a genius. An Orlando teenager is facing charges for staging his own kidnapping to extort a ransom from his father. 17-year-old disappeared from the Chris Evert Raymond James Pro Celebrity Tennis Tournament on Sunday morning. He later called his father, claiming his captors were demanding $50,000 for his release. By Tuesday morning, Delray Beach detectives and FBI agents had tracked the teenager and suspect Joshua Andre P. To a Budget Inn hotel. When agents moved in, P. ran off and broke into a house on the 500 block of Palm Trail. The homeowner and her daughter fled and flagged down police who were searching the area. A sergeant tasered P. when he released or when he refused to lay down on the ground and surrender. During questioning, P. denied trying to extort money from the teenager's father. He was charged with burglary of an occupied dwelling and resisting arrest. The teenager was charged with grand theft, the report stated. Dude, I got an awesome idea. Let's totally extort 50 grand from my dad.
It was a big poo smear.
Or pee smear. I would hate to have the last name P-E-E. Yeah, hey, P.
Chupacabra.
No, P.
P. All right, and that's news this week.
Oh, good. Thank you, Bill. Thank you for doing the news.
News. You caught yourself.
I would literally rather be, like, swimming in pee.
Huh?
Pee.
Thank you, Bill, for doing the news this week. What do you say? Shall we do some DVDs?
Let's do them, please.
Let us do the DVDs.
What did I do?
Huh?
DVDs. Ow!
DVDs, HD, Blu-ray, set a different mission. I can barely hear Steven. Can you hear Steven at all, Bill?
I can barely hear Steven, but that's okay.
I couldn't even hear you.
He's a shy guy.
All right, Steven, ready for take two?
Try it again.
Ow, my God.
DVDs,
HD, Blu-ray, standard definition. DVDs. Oh, hell yizzle the DVD dizzles. Yes. Now, Bill, during the DVD song, I want you to start whistling, like.
Okay.
Wouldn't that be cool?
No, yes.
Where's the mashed potatoes?
Huh? I'm sorry, I ate them all.
Don't you know anything about Thanksgiving dinners?
No,
I'm sorry,
you.
They were just so good. They, you know, and the gravy was perfectly spicy, and it was delicious.
Ugh, I hate peppermint patty.
What blockhead cooked all this?
Oh, what a bitch.
I know, God.
You are uninvited.
When I watch that, I'm like, what parents would let their child go to some kid's house for Thanksgiving? What the hell?
Go. She should wash her hair. She's just filthy.
It's not gonna happen.
No. All right, Bill. What DVDs do we have this week, huh?
All right, DVDs for November 22nd, 2011. Starting off with the Criterion Collection release of 12 Angry Men on Blu-ray and DVD.
No! No!
Oh.
12 of those men.
12 Angry Men.
Not a whole lot to say about it.
It's a real cooker, as they call it.
Yes, it's a boiler. It's a slow cooker. It's a crock pot of a film. All right, moving on Blu-ray and DVD, we also have Aloha Scooby-Doo.
Hey.
Yeah. I don't understand why they keep making Scooby-Doo movies. I saw a couple of these on, like, Cartoon Network, and it's just frightening. And it was, you know, there was a time and a place for Scooby-Doo. Keep it in the 70s.
Oh, yeah, totally.
In the 60s.
They do those new, like, Scooby-Doos on the Cartoon Network where it's like, just this, the animation, just, it's all off. It's just not
right.
Yeah,
it looks strange.
Yeah.
It's that stuff like they shipped it off to Korea and had them
yeah.
do, like, this really lame computer animation.
Totally.
It's like, it looks hand-drawn, but you know it's not. It's like templates and shit from a computer. All right, moving on.
Wait,
we
Bill,
have...
can you hold on for a second?
Yeah.
Hold on. Hello?
Hello?
Emma?
Yes.
What's going on? I'm doing the show.
I just wanted to say have fun at your show.
Oh, wait, thank you.
Oh.
Thank you, dear. I love you.
I love you, too.
You want to say hi to Steven and Bill?
Sure.
Say hi.
Hi.
Do you guys hear?
Hi,
yeah.
Emma.
Yeah, hello.
Hi, Emma. Okay, well, I'm going to continue doing the show, babe. See you in a bit, okay?
Okay.
Love you.
Love you, too. Bye.
Bye. It's like,
so
who's calling? Somebody's calling me. And then I hear her going, hello. Because I
hello.
Didn't want to, I don't know, something told me to pick it up.
Yeah, pick it up. All right. Moving on to better animation.
Better
one of my favorite Batman films.
Ooh, Batman.
Batman Beyond Return of the Joker in its original uncut version.
Yeah.
Which is really disturbing because it's all about this scene where the Joker tortures Robin.
Yeah, that is effed up. Cartoon, live action, whatever. That's effed up.
Yeah, right? And it's Robin when he's just a boy. So it's the boy wonder that he...
The healing power of laughter.
Yes, yes, Joker, we've heard that.
But it's a fantastic film.
It's
and
disturbing
it, I love
shit.
The way it plays with your head.
It's,
so.
Yeah, it's really messed up, though.
Yep. Paul Dini is pretty much a genius when it comes to Batman. And I can't emphasize how great Arkham City is. Another.
I can't wait to play it, Bill. There's too
another,
many games. I'm still trying to finish
yeah.
L.A. Noir. Now I'm Robin Banks of Payday. Then the Old Republic. Oh, I can't do
yeah.
it, Bill. There's too much.
There really are. There are so many good games out right now.
And where is the Batman?
Now, has the new Uncharted come out yet?
Oh, yeah, it came out like 2 weeks ago.
Have you played it yet?
No, I have been so inundated with games. I still have to play Rage. I still have to play Uncharted 3. I still have to play...
yes, the Joker, okay.
Deus Ex, Human
now,
Revolution.
Bill, I do know that Harrison Ford loved it.
Yes, apparently he did. I enjoyed watching him play it if he was actually... I mean, it's... questionable whether or not he was playing it, but he seemed to enjoy to be watching it.
Daniel Craig's my Wookiee bitch now.
Oh, no.
Now, what does that have to do with
this? I hope not.
You know, it's possible he was just paid by Sony to play it.
Yeah, but he looked like he was enjoying it, nonetheless.
Yeah, he did. He thought it was a good time.
All right, moving on. We have Conan the Barbarian. On Blu-ray and DVD, and this is the new one. That's pretty much all I have to say about that.
Look at that douchebag. I'm sorry.
they did a remake of Conan the Barbarian, and I've nothing against Jason Momoa, but nobody wanted this movie to be made.
Yeah, he's great as Khal Drogo in Game of Thrones Season 1.
He seems
so.
Like a cool dude, and hey, if somebody asked you to play Conan, you'd probably do it, but...
Absolutely.
Nobody was asking for it.
Don't you know the Dewey Decimal System?
Yes! Conan the Librarian! Next film I've wanted to see for a while. It's called The Devil's Double, and it's this British actor, Dominic Cooper, plays Uday Hussein, I believe. And not only does he play Uday Hussein, he plays Uday Hussein's double, because Uday Hussein used a double in a lot of situations. And I think this guy kind of, he falls into this world of money and power and craziness, and I don't know where it goes from there, but I know it's not a good thing.
Sounds interesting. I mean, yeah, it sounds cool to me.
Yeah, I've seen previews of
enemies,
it,
but I've seen them really living before you, it. And they hear the lamentation of the women.
I'm sure Uday Hussein heard many lamentations. moving on, we have Doctor Who. They call it the complete sixth series, but I guess it's sixth as in the reboot of Doctor Who.
Is there a doctor in the house?
And this is the one with this is the new Doctor, Matt Smith, who's fantastic. He's really good.
You dig the Doctor Who? I know that.
I love Doctor Who. It was a bit hit and miss this season, but when Stephen Moffat was behind the wheel, it was excellent, as it almost always is with him. I don't know. I might pick it up, but BBC tends to overprice their Blu-ray sets. They want looks like they want about $100 for this thing. Whoa. And I'm just not, maybe 50. I would pay 50 for it.
It's an arbitrary number, man.
No, it's not. It's just a little overpriced.
Now, I have a great drop now, Steven, if you ever nod off during the show, okay? I have this ready, okay?
Am I keeping you up, darling? Would you like a blanket?
Nice.
Oh, that's beautiful.
But we'll never have to use it, Steven, because you're well rested tonight.
Yes, I'm good.
Steven's he's keeping his shit together.
See you soon, you sly devil.
Oh. All right.
Sly devil.
If you love Tyler Perry.
Which we all do.
Yeah, I mean, who doesn't? And you haven't been able to see his play, A Medea Christmas. He's now decided to start releasing the plays on Blu-ray. Uh-huh. So you can, at your home, watch these wonderfully written, hilarious stage plays, which I'm really looking forward to. I want to...
The audacity of this guy.
I want to bring home Medea's Christmas for my Christmas.
Yes, that Medea. She knows what she's doing.
She is just so funny.
Medea's
Thanksgiving.
You made it personal!
Oh, huh?
And moving on, I'm a nerd. I totally admit to that. I love anything that has to do with the cosmos. Cosmology, theoretical physics, quantum mechanics, all that shit. Love it. Eat it up.
Now, Bill, are you a nerd or a geek?
I don't know. I think I'm more of a geek than a nerd, because a nerd would imply a social awkwardness.
What are you looking at, nerd? Huh?
And I don't really consider myself socially awkward. Tactless, yes, but not socially awkward.
I don't know.
So this next Blu-ray is a PBS Nova series that aired recently called The Fabric of the Cosmos. And it's
what's Terra Nova really about?
No, Nova, not Terra Nova.
Oh, God, no. And it's by this guy named Brian Greene, who also wrote an excellent book called and it was a series called The Elegant Universe. Oh. It's all about the crazy interdimensional fabric of time, space, all that greatness. Love
it's
this stuff.
It's the key to the universe.
Exactly, Walter. I haven't seen the series. I missed it, but it's only about 240 minutes, so...
They're the most beautiful creatures in the universe.
I have heard the what was it, Space Pirates of Iago?
Deep Talk about Space them. Pilots?
Deep Space Pilots? Yeah. Moving on, we have Rushmore on Blu-ray from Criterion Collection.
I love Rushmore.
Yeah, it's a great movie.
Love it.
Oh, are they?
These are O.R. scrubs.
Yeah, so are they? Just so... It's It's a great movie. I like one of my favorites from Wes Anderson, the other being Bottle Rocket. I just recently saw his the Darjeeling Limited and really liked that a lot too.
I haven't seen that.
It's good. It's really good.
I really like Wes Anderson.
Yeah,
Steven, I know you do too. Mm-hmm. You're just not saying anything.
Yeah, he's only sounds like he's a million miles away.
Is my mic just weird? Is
it not? Yeah, I think so. We need to get you a new headset because anytime I hear you, it sounds like you're like talking through a paper towel tube.
He's over in the kitchen right now.
Yeah,
he's on an extension cord.
No, I really like The Life Aquatic.
I haven't watched that one yet.
Life Aquatic. It's very interesting. It's almost like I had to watch it more than once to really appreciate it. At first, I was just weirded out by how weird it was.
Yes.
And then I was like, I like this, you know. I had to watch it a couple times.
It quickly became one of my favorites.
And I love, you know, Wes Anderson, he rules at picking soundtrack music, doesn't he?
He does. He's great at it.
He's great.
Like, I think in Rushmore, he uses the excellent, shit, I'm blanking on the band, but it's Keeping Time.
Yeah, making time.
Yeah, in that montage, it's perfect.
Right.
Dun dun da da dun.
Now I see
that Aquatic. It's
that song
Stardust,
is on,
but it's in another language.
Right.
No.
Oh,
that's sort of genius.
Yeah. I can't remember what it is. There's a guy on the boat singing, playing the guitar the whole time. You know.
Yeah.
All it's right, I gotta watch it then.
Very interesting.
I just haven't gotten around to it. I mean, I love Bill Murray, and I've seen the bits where Willem Dafoe plays kind of this creepy hanger-on type of guy.
Yeah, the whole cast is good. Even Owen Wilson.
All right, moving on. We have Spy Kids All the Time in the World. This is the one what's his name from The Soup?
Joel McHale.
Joel McHale.
He his friends. He had to have been friends with Robert Rodriguez.
Yeah.
You know, I think it comes down when you see people in movies like this, it's because they have kids and their kids like the first Spy Kids or something. It has to be because of
that. So apparently these are all new Spy Kids because...
Well,
the original Spy Kids are in the film, but I think it's only to turn the roles over
They're grown up now,
yeah.
And Robert Rodriguez exploited them already. So
yes, he needs young ones now.
You're too old.
He must have made a shit ton of money on these movies.
Oh, he did? I think it's the most successful thing he's done is the Spy Kids franchise, money-wise.
Well, you know, good for him.
Because if you do something that has tie-ins with McDonald's Happy Meal toys, you've got it. You've done it. Because he owns the Spy Kids.
I mean, just looking at his history, his filmography, it's kind of funny that most of them are Spy Kids and Shark Boy and Lava Girl.
And I gotta tell you, my daughter, she loves the Spy Kids. She's only seen the first one or the first two, right? I don't know, because they all look the same, but...
Yeah, they really do. They all kind of have that weird CGI look
there's
to them.
One of them... Oh, wait. That's Sharkboy and Lava Girl that George Lopez is the bad guy in it. Really? He's also
I think one of the Spy Kids movies, Sylvester Stallone's the bad guy.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I think that's the third one.
It's baffling to me.
Wow.
The one with Ricardo Montalban. In kind of like one of those Yoda hover wheelchairs.
The mother snake on some mother plates.
Oh, God, that's awful.
Padma, it's horrible. It's horrible language.
All right, Blu-ray of the week is Super 8. Finally reaching us on Blu-ray and DVD.
Hey, Super 8. Hey,
and
Bill.
I love the cover art. Because
it's like the Kodak box?
Yeah, exactly. It looks it's the Kodak box, but just below the Kodak's box, it uses the little bit with the water tower and the kids standing in the distance.
Bill and I did an episode of Don't Worry Mulberry. Actually, it's called a Nim Mini Movie of Super 8, where we talk all about the movie.
Yes, we did.
And you guys can still check it out on the feed or go to nowheremulberry.com. say you haven't seen it yet and you get it on Blu-ray or rental, you go to the Redbox machine, the fancy gizmo, video on demand, and you want to see what, hear what we thought of it, do that. Check it out.
Maybe we'll I've never used a Redbox because I don't want to have to return something.
You know, I will never use one because whenever I see people, there's always a line of people waiting for the other person to get done. It's like, I'm not going to do that.
Really? So, I've never seen a line in a Redbox.
Oh, yeah, like at Walmart or something.
Wow.
Steven?
Am I keeping you up, darling? Would you like a blanket?
Oh, nice.
He's trying.
Is it? It's so emasculating the way he calls you darling.
Darling?
All I want to know is this, Bill.
Where's the mashed potatoes?
Exactly.
I don't know. Oh, was that a snore? Did we catch a snore there?
Steven?
No,
was that?
It was a sigh.
Maybe it was a Snorlax.
Is that Steven?
No.
All right, we're almost done here. We have one Blu-ray left. One of my favorite goofy-ass movies of all time.
It's Goofy the movie.
No, it's Three Amigos.
Oh, yeah. Three Amigos.
And this I was watching this movie the other night on MGM movie channel, which I'm pissed now that they have commercials. I think that's absurd. But I was just cracking up. It's as funny now as it ever was.
Little buttercup, sweet little buttercup, my little buttercup, I love you.
My little buttercup. Love it.
I mean, it's so shticky and goofy, like, goofy. The part where, like, El Guapo tells the guy to take off his hat and hold it out.
Yeah.
So that he can shoot it, and he ends up shooting a guy. It's just little stupid moments like that that make me absolutely howl with laughter.
That's one of those movies that I'm just grinning the whole movie.
Yeah.
You know? It's so silly and ridiculous, and I love it. It's fun.
Even just in the way, like, they move. Like, they're trying to get into El Guapo's area, and they're, like, kind of prancing.
Yeah,
like,
I love these, like,
so they're so obsessed with their film roles and their personalities that they're just so goofy.
I love these, like, what is a plethora?
Yeah, would you say I have a plethora?
Oh,
sure. Such
it's
so
a,
funny.
It's a plethora.
And then the Nazi pilot that loves Ned.
Yeah.
Like, I wanted to be as fast as him. You were my idol, and then I found out about the movie Magic.
Yeah. And all the women are fawning all over them. Those gorgeous women.
Oh, yeah.
What is this for?
Or even just even thinking about how when Steve Martin finally arrives at the end, he's like, everyone, face down, drop your guns. And then Chevy Chase throws his gun down.
Yeah.
He's like, not you!
Oh, and remember the invisible swordsman?
Yes!
You just see the thud in the ground.
I can't even remember what they were saying, but I remember he fired
out instead of up.
Yeah, but he's just holding the gun forward.
What was it, the singing bush?
Yeah, the singing bush. Such a ridiculous movie. Love it.
So funny.
This is ridiculous.
That's what
I'll be buying this on Blu-ray just to have it.
Totally.
I hope it's a good transfer. And that's DVDs for this week.
Well, thank you, Bill. Thank you for doing the DVDs this week.
Yes, now Steven can go to sleep.
See you soon, you sly devil.
I'll see you, baby.
Here all week, try the veal.
Oh, it's disturbing, I tell you.
What did I do?
Wow.
Good news is I'm here, and the bad news is you've just been shot, I guess. All right, everyone, that was episode 250 of Nora Mulberry. Wow, we did it, guys. Let's give each other an applause, huh?
Yay.
Huh? Clappy clap clap, huh? Right, Bill?
Yes.
We did it. We did it.
It's over.
Yeah. That's standing up.
Wow, that's really long. I'm blushing.
All right.
And you know what? We're not going to be. We probably won't be doing a show next week because of Thanksgiving.
Right.
And I would be remiss if I didn't bring up that next week, or I'm sorry, not next week, the week after next week, the 29th, Tuesday the 29th, one of my favorite movies of the year is coming out on Blu-ray, and that's Tucker and Dale versus Evil.
Oh, yeah, you've talked about this.
Yeah, and you gotta rent it. I think it's still on demand. I don't know.
And boom goes the dynamite.
But I am buying this Blu-ray because it just cracks me up. It's such a great, like, spoof satire on your typical slasher movies with the teens and everything. Just, it's great. I love it.
Cool. All right. All right, guys. Everyone have a happy Thanksgiving. Right, Steven? You're going to have
a
happy Thanksgiving?
Yes, because I'm
Where's the mashed potatoes?
Nice.
Don't you know anything about Thanksgiving dinners?
Oh, God. Come on, Peppermint Patty. Jeez.
Where's the mashed potatoes?
I don't know.
I just say go home. Have mashed potatoes at home.
Have some popcorn and shut up.
I'll see you later, okay, Patty?
It's a pretzel stick.
See you soon, you sly devil.
You sly devil? She's so manipulative, too.
She is. She knows how to get exactly what she wants.
The whole world.
Yeah, you're not Charlie Brown. You're some imposter voice.
Yeah, exactly. Who is that?
That little son of a bitch.
Now that's Snoopy.
That's classic
Snoopy.
That's Snoopy.
Okay.
That's Snoopy Dog.
Snoopy Dog?
Snoopy Dog. Yeah, do you know that? We have a drop of Snoopy Dog.
Yeah, that
Dog.
Was the news lady, right?
Yeah, she was talking about Snoop Dogg, but she was
yeah,
like,
she called
Snoopy Dog.
Yeah, there
Snoopy
we go.
Snoopy Dog has a new album, apparently, and he likes pot.
There's a shocker.
Everyone go to nowheremulberry.com, and you can find a link to us on the Facebook fan club. I'm really digging our Nowhere Mulberry fan club. I just kind of put stuff on there, and I'm starting to do it more. Like, I put the Suck Lord's website or that funny Rob Liefeld article where it's his making fun of his...
Oh, yeah.
Dude, I know that's a really old article.
We've laughed at it for years. That's one of our favorites.
It makes me laugh. I was tearing up at things, like, talking about, like, everyone knows in art, in comic book art, each line you put on a face adds, like, a year to their life. So this picture of Shaft, leader of Youngblood, is 900 years old because of how many lines are on his face. It was so funny. And just the way that Rob Liefeld draws women with their ass sticking way out, and their chest real forward, gigantic breasts. Like,
no waist.
No way they could physically stand. Yeah, the waist is like an inch, you know, just tiny little waist. It's hilarious. And how they have giant, you know, eyelashes. It's just hilarious.
And the constant grimaces, and because he doesn't know how to shade,
and all the
he just
men,
draws the lines.
Every hairstyle's exactly the same, where they don't even have sideburns like he doesn't in real life. You know,
those I think some of his worst art that I've seen is on those Captain America covers.
Yeah, that Captain America with the giant barrel chest.
Yeah,
so funny. And someone did a likeness of what it would look like. Captain America would look like naked with that same body. It's so funny. He's a giant naked Captain America with this gigantic torso with a tiny penis. It's like this little tiny shriveled penis. It's so funny.
Oh, God.
I like the one that with Spider-Man swinging on a vine. And his hips look displaced.
Yeah, they're showing the hidden feet. There's one, it was like a woman... But he's like, she's only got one leg, and he drew a line down the center of it where it looks like two legs. My God, it's funny. It really is. So go to the Nora Mulberry Fan Club on Facebook. Also, you can find me, Bill, and Steven, and Foggy's on Twitter, too. I don't know what he tweets. I don't follow him. But also, I don't know. But guys, we also have a forum, which you can join and look at, you know, if anything... Check out Swiley's great feedback to every episode we do.
Oh, God. I live for Swiley's feedback. I love that guy.
It's a special treat. You know,
I almost feel like I owe him something.
I know.
Like if I'm ever, like, in central Pennsylvania or Eastern Pennsylvania. I think that's where he lives, somewhere around there. I would have to go there and like make him and his wife dinner.
Yeah.
I would have to actually do something for them or take them out.
You're going to be my murder victim.
Wait, what?
No, that's not what he's saying.
You know what cracks me up? I was looking at the Suckhorn site while you were talking just now for some reason, and he has a piece of art he calls Piss Bart.
Yeah, I saw and that. It, you know how they have Piss Christ?
That made me laugh out loud.
That was great. I like that.
I mean, that's genius.
I like that.
Whoa.
No, that's good stuff. Yeah. Also, what am I forgetting about? You could send us an email at nimpodcast@gmail.com. And we still don't have a voicemail. It's screwed up, Steven.
No, but by the next time I think I have a link. I'm going to send something to you.
Okay.
I think I found a free one that we can use. I'll send it to you later
because
tonight.
I see a lot of them. It'll say free trial. And I'm like,
yeah, like no. 6 month free trial, and then it's 12 something a month.
Yeah,
or something.
Like, screw that. You know, I don't want that.
I mean, I already pay enough money for the forum that no one uses. So
yeah, you shouldn't pay money for any of that, Bill. I'm telling you.
Chupacabra.
Huh? Okay.
If you strike me down, I shall become more powerful than you can possibly imagine.
You know that elimination music with the piano in the background? I want an MP3 of that. That sounds really nice, doesn't it? That
kinda, it's soothing.
It is. All right, guys. I guess that's all we got. Bill, you want to go rob some banks later?
Absolutely.
You know, guys, I'm talking about video game banks, all right?
Want to go kill some electronic cops?
Yeah, electronic cops. Yes, I do.
Good news and bad news.
The good news is you're electronic. The bad news, I'm going to kill your ass.
Let's get it on.
Yes, let's do it. Steven, get the gun. Let's go knock out the cameras. That's how bad the voices are in there.
Yeah, it's really awful.
Go inside.
Wait,
it's up there with, like, original Resident Evil voiceovers.
Yeah. The Jill sandwich. Wait, where'd Steven go?
But he bailed.
Oh, he's gone.
Oh, nice. I'm sorry. Sucklord has that shirt he wore on the last episode of Work of Art, the Chinatown Warrior, or it says Suckadelic.
Nice.
There's so many cool... I want to buy so much of his stuff, but I just don't have the money.
You were almost a Jill sandwich.
I bet you he got a lot of fans from being on the show, don't you?
I'm a huge fan of his work. Love it.
Yeah, I like the Suckhorn. Isn't it funny? Like, at first he seems like, oh, who is this douche? But then by the end of the episode, you're like, you know what? I like this guy.
I really, really like... I like what he does. His graffitied AT-AT is awesome.
I'm a fame whore.
And it's like he says that, but he's like the exact opposite of everything that he does on that.
I'm
like,
not
it's all about making
kind of
fun of fame whores.
Yeah.
So great. Love that guy.
I wanted to cry when he got eliminated.
Yeah, I was so disappointed.
Don't cry for me, Argentina.
good stuff. Right, Steven?
We got to have him on the show.
We do. We got to have Sucklord. Now, what is this you're doing? I just want him to sing the technology song from Kip Dynamite. Like, I don't see it personally. I don't know what you're talking about.
Yes, I love technology.
Come on, it is similar.
Not
isn't
as much as you think, but I still love technology. Always and forever.
And then,
if you strike me down, I shall become more powerful than you can possibly imagine.
It's Dynamite.
It is.
Love you, Kip. Sucklord Kip. I got nothing. All right, guys, that's the show. Everyone have a happy Thanksgiving. We'll be back when we're back. And believe me, Bill and I are already planning a holiday package. Right, Bill?
Yes, it's so everyone, in the deep, deep planning stages.
Everyone start saving up your money. We got something good. Better than...
We have Sucklord memorabilia to buy.
Better than our commentaries. We got something special. It'll melt your faces off. Am I right? Right, Bill?
I hope so. But then they're gonna lose their money because they're going to have to get reconstructive surgery.
Oh, yeah, totally.
So hopefully it just makes them hot. Their faces are just a little melty.
melting his flesh to the bone.
Exactly. All right, everybody. See you next time. Thank you for listening.
Guess I'll be on my way then. Excuse me. Excuse me. Excuse me.
This was a total waste of time.
Now this is podcasting.
I want fire.
Well,
I want crazy smoke.
Well,
times a million.
Well,
this blows up in your face, I'm putting it out. With your face.
But I just don't know.
I'm making stuff go on fire.
I think I'm losing control of the whole world.
Nah.
It's your own fault.
He's such a Momo.
Cause you're so wishy-washy.
Calm down.
It was a big poo smear.
Nobody hit me to that, dude.
Am I keeping you up, darling? Would you like a blanket?